Do we look like ranchers?
I want to win the games until he dies playing.
Playing space cowboy in some back room.
Finish the game! No!
Kill him.
You are about to experience.
I can't play these video games.
I want to win the games until he dies playing.
I can't play these video games.
Games and More Entertainment Radio.
Okay, this is Games and More Entertainment Radio, episode 116. I'm C4.
And I'm Kobar.
I am so excited to do the episode this week. We got new audio hardware to play around with. I'm surprised that this is going to work. And it's actually stereo again right off the top.
Yeah.
Not that funky mono crap, and then I get to copy it and fool everybody into thinking it's actually recorded in stereo.
There's actually no problems. It even is recording at a high level.
Yeah, which is going to shock a lot of people. In fact, anyway, we'll get to this whole section anyway at some point in time. But yeah, I'm pretty impressed here. This is our sound check. 1, 2.
Three?
All right. The website is hwhq.com. The email is c4.gameradio@gmail.com. That's c4.gameradio@gmail.com. And you can join us on IRC at irc.oftc.net. The channel is Pound Gamer. And let's see here. Right off the top, we've got quite a pile of email here, and a lot of it actually has to do with what we did last week, and it got me all kinds of excited because... Nice to know that people are still listening out there after the little hiatuses we've managed to have here through the last couple of shows.
We're on 2 shows in a row.
In a row again. Oh, my God. Unprecedented. Maybe people will stop bitching. I apologize. I'm sorry. It's been mostly my fault. Real life stuff has sucked. But we've got 7 emails to go through here real quick. One of them actually has absolutely nothing, fuck all, to do with what we talked about last week, but the next couple of them do. But I wanted to mention this one first because it's the least tied into games in our whole deal here. But it's still, from a geek standpoint, incredibly interesting. Like, this just blows my freaking mind here. This was from UT Soul Reaver. The email he just sent me just says, "And it has happened." And it's a link to the Apple website with this thing called Boot Camp, which I'm sure everybody's seeing right now. It's an 83-megabyte download to run on your Macintosh hardware to allow you to run Windows XP.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and rather well, even.
Didn't I hear something about Apple was at least considering putting, like, Intel chips in there?
They are. No, all their stuff is now.
Oh.
All their stuff actually runs on... Yeah, it happened. All their new stuff from the last couple of... A little while now. Probably not too long. Runs on Intel hardware now, which is actually a requirement for this to run Windows.
Mm-hmm.
So it will not work on older Macintosh stuff, and you're not going to be able to pull out all your, you know, funky old piece of crap Apple stuff. You've got to have a new Macintosh box, and it'll come with Mac OS X, like Tiger, like 10.4.6 on it.
Right.
And you download the, this is a public beta, so there's no guarantee that's going to work right. But what it allows you to do is when you, turn your little Macintosh box on there, you can hold down, I think it's the Alt key, whatever the hell they call it, they have some weird word for it, I'm sure, and bam, you can go off to Windows land. Now, I kind of remember in the past, there was like a, I can't remember what the hell it was called, there was a Macintosh that ran like DOS and Mac stuff, and it did not work out very well. That was a freaking nightmare. But, you know, I'm fairly certain now they've got their shit together and a little bit more straightened out, and people, I would say, shouldn't be as afraid to go out and buy Macintosh hardware now. I mean, not that it was scary before, but as far as from a gaming standpoint.
Well, I would think, at least with a wide variety of knowledge that I know about hardware, that if they're using the Intel architecture, they could add, like, DirectX capability to Mac OS, and you'd be able to run
most
games
of those
just
games.
Fine.
I don't know. I don't think so, because Mac OS X now is kind of based off of, like BSD or something, which is like Unix. So it's not going to run any, like, your Windows games and whatnot still. And, you know, if you have Windows installed on it, though, it's full-on installed. I mean, it's Windows. You just hold – it's basically – dual booting your box, really.
Right.
It just happens
like at the
to
same
be
time, even,
right.
Right?
No. It's not going to run Mac. It's like you kind of pick.
Oh,
you know, like it's like, you know, dual booting, like say Linux and Windows on the same machine. You have like a little menu ahead of time, right? You pick, bam, you're in your Windows side. You pick the other thing, bam, you're on your Macintosh side. And I guess it's pretty slick because you have your Windows disk that you go out and you buy, and I guess the software here will copy whatever drivers and shit that you need, it'll take the shit off the CD, get your drivers and stuff for you, and build you a little image.
Right.
Then you burn the image, boot your Mac, and it, bam, it takes care of the whole deal for you. Basically, you find yourself in a normal Windows install. And this isn't, like, incredibly difficult because the hardware it's running on, Windows already runs on.
Right.
So it's basically they've got a bootloader for Mac. Whoop-de-doo. And they put the drivers in for you. So, I mean, it's cool that they made it so nice and easy to do, because if you've ever had to use some of these boot managers themselves, they're not the nicest, friendliest, prettiest things in the world either. Mm. I mean, this has, like, a nice little icons for all kinds of shit and everything. You know, even when you hold down that little button, their bootloader has, like, looks like pictures of hard drives or something. You know, it says WinXP and then Macintosh or whatever the hell. You know, I mean, it looks pretty well put together, I guess, you know. So that's good news for, Macintosh hardware owners, I think, right. You know, and because this has very little to affect me, but it does appeal to my geek's side anyway. But what I want is I want straight up Mac OS X to run on my Intel hardware, because see, the reason you have to buy this Macintosh here is because it's got their little digital rights management crap in there.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to be able to run Mac OS X on a normal regular PC. You can't do that.
I never really understood why they did that.
I guess they make a lot of money off hardware sales, though. I mean, if it's all proprietary, they can charge people through the roof for stuff. I remember back in the day with my 386, it was made by IBM. I couldn't get, you know, certain pieces to fit into it. Mm-hmm. I had to buy IBM stuff to fit into it, you know, and that sucked because it was more expensive. It was more costly, and I'm sure IBM loved the shit out of me, though. So, well,
but that's just it. It didn't really work for them. I mean, they went belly under
because it didn't work for shit. Yeah. But I mean, now, you know, now everything's kind of standard and everything. And we have our main PC set up here, and we have our Macintosh set up. Now the Macintosh stuff is going to run on the same stuff with a chip to kind of control the ability to run Mac OS X on it, though. You know, it's going to say, no, you can't, you don't have this chip. You can't run it. Now, that is not to say there's not already hacks and stuff out there, because there is. If you look, Google up like OS X, I think his name is Maxis, M-A-X-X-X-X-U-S, I think.
Mm.
And I guess he puts out a series of patches that crack Mac OS X, I guess, anyway. This is like kind of what I've been hearing and what I've seen around. I've never got to play with it myself, but that actually has some interest to me.
True, but now you're giving up resources to emulate this chip.
No. The hack, I think, straight up removes the check.
The chip, all it does is say...
You're good to go. Thumbs really? Up. Yeah. Yeah. As far as anybody can tell, anyway. I mean, it's pretty new. I mean, these things just came out, and they're probably 2 months old or so. It's pretty new stuff, but somebody's already working on cracking it right here and getting everything together, which is cool, because I think it would be kind of fun to play around with OS X on, you know, just to fool around with, you know? So I can see me go out and buy a copy of it, but they don't just sell it. You know, you have to have a Macintosh with the damn thing, and then go ahead and run it on my hardware just to fool around with, and I could learn about it and all that stuff. And I really wish Apple would just release their operating system and just be like, here, for sale, $100.
Yeah.
Buy it, just like Windows. That would give, you know, Microsoft a lot more competition. If it was like, well, I'm going to build a new machine, what operating system do I want on it? There's a little bit more variance there for most people. They don't go to the store and find, you know, the Linux box sitting there.
Right.
And if you do, you get it for free because you know where you can get it anyway most of the time. So very good story, though. I want to thank UT Soul Reaver for that, because I had to reply my email. I was like, holy fucking shit. I mean, I was just like, wow, I can't believe it. You know, they're going to go ahead and let this happen. And the next email's from Doom. This is an article on GamingHorizon.com. I tiny URL'd the specific thing. This has specifically something to do with our last show when I mentioned Nintendo and I said fails, right? Mm-hmm. It's tinyurl.com/JV, as in Victor, the number 2, U, as in your anus, and Q.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. The article here from GamingHorizon.com says Nintendo posts $800 million in profits. So they're doing okay. Doom's email said the profits are obviously due to their handheld division, but it offers a bit of relief anyway. Nintendo will be around for a long time.
The GameCube did not fail, though. It made money.
See, I call it a failure because it's not what people consider when they go out to buy a console for the most part, or when they're gonna plan their weekend, they're like, oh, I'm going to game my ass off this weekend. They're talking about their PlayStation.
Yes.
You know, Nintendo has lost their position. Therefore, anywhere but the top dog, I consider a loss. I'm not saying the Xbox was a success. That was a colossal failure, okay?
Especially worldwide, pretty much just as bad as the GameCube.
Right, right. But, you know, the GameCube does have its market, particularly in Japan. I guess it does better there than here.
Yeah.
probably because they have more games and everything.
Well, it's also a Japanese company. They've right, yes. They've got a gear towards Japan.
Right.
We're actually a bit of a side thought for Nintendo.
Just kind of like here. And that's probably how they feel about Microsoft with their Xbox. They kind of feel like, eh. You know, and in fact, I don't know if anybody's looked in the news lately that Microsoft is going to completely, I guess they've been revamping their 360 sales pitch, their marketing deal for Japan. Yeah, and what they've got now is they went from whatever the hell their marketing plan was before to they brought out the big guns. Or should I say the biggins. They've got a bunch of hot-ass Japanese supermodels now on commercials playing on Xbox Live together. How sweet is that? And those are some commercials I got to get my hands on.
There you go.
They sound worth watching. I should go buy a 360. Now, let's see. For the annual period ending March 31st, Nintendo netted more than $800 million, the company announced today. The greatest profit since 2001, the year it released the GameCube and the Game Boy Advance, the number represents an 8.7% increase from last year and eclipsed Nintendo's own financial forecast considerably. Mm-hmm. That was a shock to me. The monetary gains were driven by the hot-selling Nintendo DS, which since its debut on November 21st, 2004, has accumulated a greater range of first- and third-party titles. Games like Mario Kart DS and Castlevania Dawn of Sorrow have helped make the... I'm laughing at myself because I sound like I'm a fucking TV newscaster reading this. What the hell is wrong with me? Dawn of Sorrow that have helped make the handheld a must-have for consumers. Through the end of 2005, Nintendo sold 13 million DSs worldwide, and with the DS Lite currently flying off shelves in Japan, profits should soon continue for Mario and Co. Kobar, back to you.
I was hoping you were going to...
That was awesome.
Okay. I've said it before, Nintendo is not failing at all. And it doesn't even matter that
they're not failing, they're losing.
But they're not even losing in certain areas, like the handheld. And I think that the Revolution is a good idea because it's a little more inspired by that division of their company.
I can see what you mean by that. Yeah. Okay. Like, and in fact, I don't remember. God, I can't. This was just a couple of days ago, I believe, where I had a discussion with a coworker of mine, and we were talking about, you know, the Xbox. He mentioned something. He was, you got it at 360. I said, no, you know, it's got a bunch of crap games. I might play one or two games on it, you know. And in fact, I was thinking of, oh, crap, Cameo.
Right.
You know, I was thinking, yeah, Cameo looks actually kind of interesting to me. And then we kind of joked around about the PlayStation 3 for a minute, about how expensive it's going to be. And then we kind of, you know, naturally the conversation about the next generation consoles rolls around to the Revolution. And all of a sudden, I noticed both of us got pretty excited. Kind of like a, oh, yeah, but when the Revolution comes out, you know, I think I'm going to pick one up. And it's like, yeah, man, for, you know, $200, if that's going to be the case, hell, if I get to play, you know, a Zelda, a Mario, and a Mario Kart, I probably got my money's worth out of the damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and on top of
especially
that...
Especially if it's not Mario Sunshine.
Right, right. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they learned their lesson on that.
I think they're going back to Mario 64... ish.
I hope so. I really do hope so, because I didn't even get into Mario Sunshine, and I've got a cube, and so I have every opportunity in the world to buy this $20 game.
I own it.
Do you?
Yeah.
I've played it over at Hunter's, and well, for all of maybe 10 minutes, and was just like, this is nothing special at all, and I've seen his saves, you know, later on, and it's like, well, this is crap.
The biggest problem is it's all the fucking same.
Right,
it's
yeah.
That beach
I mean
style.
Less crap, and what I mean more is like, yeah, you're still here?
Yeah.
And you're halfway through the game? No, I'm really far in it. Okay.
And the whole water pack thing, decent idea. I give them props for, like, trying up with
something
new shit.
Yeah.
It didn't work very well.
Right.
Mario is just a straight jumping around sort of dude, and it should stay that way.
They should stick to that. Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's see here. Emulation aspects of the thing is pretty interesting, because we mentioned before, you know, how they've got Genesis games and some TurboGrafx 16 games coming out for it, and I just don't see that as a real selling point, though. Not for me. And not for anybody who probably listens to the show, because they're pretty aware that emulation's been around for a long time, and I'm sure more than a few of you have accumulated quite a large chunk of some illegal ROMs.
Yeah.
You know?
And even if you're not into the illegal thing, I personally have a problem with paying Nintendo for a Sega game.
I don't know what they're thinking, but
maybe Sega like got in with them and said,
I'm
we'll
sure they're
you...
getting some kind of chunk
well,
of
sure.
it. I'm sure they're not just stealing it. I think it's a possibility, but it's not a realistic one, I don't think.
Well, they can't just steal it.
Right. Well, they can, but they're not going to, which is what's interesting, because I want to know, will this thing run regular ROMs? And when I mean regular, I'm talking about straight up pirated off the web, and you throw them onto a little card pop it into your revolution. Where the fuck, how? Is it going to know?
It very well might have some coding threaded through the file.
It's got to.
But that doesn't mean that someone couldn't go, oh, that's how it works.
Right, exactly. I mean, if they make it really simple, like it's just like a little header of the file.
Hit utility that opens up the ROM of yours and like
adds it in. Right, right. And then you're golden. That's all you would need to go ahead and pirate any game that you want, you know, off the internet and run it, throw it on your little secure digital card with a, you know, however much, whatever kind of card they're going to use. I'm actually not 100% sure yet. But all you need is that little card reader deal. It's $20. You know, copy your shit over. You get a little free utility to patch it, and you're golden, which would be kind of cool. You know, a lot of people have machines dedicated to play ROMs, though, hooked up to their TV or whatever, and they got controllers for all kinds of shit. So
I'm not that burly.
So I used to be.
I was going to say, it'd be kind of nice to play some of these ROMs on the TV.
Right. I actually used to have a dedicated machine for it, and it actually had some serious hardware trouble, so I don't have, not here, so I don't have it anymore. But that's what I've got the Xbox for now. It actually works fan-fucking-tastic for a lot of this stuff.
A problem I have with that, though, is that especially with consoles and especially with Nintendo, because they have a lot of proprietary software, a lot of games are just for them, the games are designed for a specific controller in mind.
Right.
And then you try to use another controller, and it's a little janky.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't give you that same feeling either.
Right. And it'll work perfectly well for Nintendo games. Because right. you take that remote controller and you flip it sideways.
Turn it sideways
and it's
yeah.
a Nintendo controller.
Like, I sit here and I try to play, you know, a Nintendo ROM. Let's say I'm playing Super Mario Brothers, and I'm using an Xbox 360 controller.
Yeah.
Now, talk about just not feeling right, and I have to adjust the sensitivity levels of the buttons and, mm-hmm. like, all sorts of weird crap I have to do to make it kind of work. And it still doesn't give me that satisfying feel that when I'm trying to make a huge jump somewhere, you know, like in Mario, when you're at the top of that ending pyramid thing there, the half pyramid with the stairs, I guess, and you jump off the edge and you're trying to grab the top of the pole, I used to mash that fucking button in, and I would hear my controller go a little bit. It would creak, you know, because I would kind of twist and push it, and you don't get that anymore, you know. Right. You got this nice, you know, very
molded single piece of
plastic. Right, yeah, you know, it's just not quite the same. Now, let's see. We've got an email here. This is continuing on with things that we mentioned last week here. This is from Jeff Mann, who have you seen this email yet?
No.
I read all the emails this week, actually, except for one, the huge one here at the end with staples in it because it's so big. This is from Jeff Mann. It says, Oblivion is for noobs. And it is a joke. This is making fun of us.
Right.
Hey, you twats, ever heard of a difficulty setting? I mean, it's right there on the options main menu. Okay, yeah, that was mean, but I haven't said twat in a while. Play with the difficulty setting, and I bet you will find a setting for your class that makes it fun. On my melee class guy, a good setting is about 45%, and on my girl's mage, a 65% is a good setting for a challenge and good fun. As for the level system, I kind of don't like it yet. It works unless you pick your 7 skills as shit you will never use, and for the mobs, they directly mirror your skill and level depending on the difficulty setting. Turn the difficulty up and that I kill everything in one shot will stop, and they will see you coming unlike before, just to let you know and increase the challenge that you're not getting. Oh, yeah. Indoors, oh, yeah. I remember mentioning frame rates. Oh, yeah, indoors, I get 80 frames per second flat, no matter. And once I'm outside in the woods on my horse, yes, I have a horse and you don't, my frames per second drops to a whopping 8 frames per second. There are mods out there and INI changes that you just have to look for them. Me, I'm too lazy and haven't played in a week, but will when I play over the weekend. Now, I wanted to mention something here because, and I thought of it as I was reading here, he said they will see you like never before. They will see you coming unlike before.
I turned up the difficulty setting because I went home like directly after doing the show and decided to look, because I had not looked for the difficulty setting before.
I didn't either.
I go for the default, and
yeah,
then I work from
there. That's usually normal. That's what they intend you to actually play the first time
default
around.
Default should be what they intend you to play it at. So I assumed.
Me too. I just assumed it was average.
And when I ticked it up, all the mobs used to be facing away from me when I would walk into a room. They're now facing towards me. So he actually meant what he said there, and I couldn't do nearly the sneaking because I walk up anywhere close to them and they see me.
Right. Now, see, for a stealth character like me, that takes it all out because I can't be stealthy if they're on a certain level.
I was also in an area that had literally zero shadows. Like, I
wasn't in a cave or anything.
Yeah, I was in...
on the middle of the road trying to sneak up on a dude, probably, yeah. Right.
Well, okay. I was actually, like, in the very first gate of Oblivion.
Oh, okay.
And it's nice and bright and you're, like, you're on a road, but it's...
not the optimal place to be sneaking around anyway.
No.
Still, there's actually a mod out for this. Well, kind of for this, anyway. It's for sneak attacks. It's called, like, sneak and hide. Because one of the things that happens here, let's say you do manage to sneak up on the guy, right? And you shoot his ass, and let's say you don't kill him because you've got the difficulty turned up. They know where you're at. They auto-target and rush at you, and you're done. You know, I mean, if you don't kill him, your ass is grass because you're probably a pussy little thief, right? You know how they're all gimped, so you suck and you're going to die. There's a mod now that gives you, like, a chance. There's, like, I don't think it adds a skill, but there's some kind of mechanic behind it that you might not always get seen, which is a possibility. They're called snipers, okay? Yeah. So I think it's kind of cool. I actually went ahead and installed it, and what's really funny is I've installed about 8 mods now because, like, I keep reading. You know, I'm reading and learning more, and I'm like, okay, this blows. This needs to be fixed. So I get a mod for it. This sucks. This needs to be fixed. So I get a mod for it. I haven't played it still. I've got, like, this giant pile of mods now, and I'm like, oh, this game's going to be playable soon. You know, this is terrible.
There's also one that you might want to look for that I had for bows. It increases the velocity as you get better arrows.
Oh, like, I saw that, but I didn't get excited. Okay, I didn't, yeah, I saw
that. It doesn't
change
the damage.
Damage, right.
But if you have an iron arrow, then you have to lob it like you normally would. But if when you have, like, some dwarven glass crazy thing, it shoots really far straight at him.
Oh, wow.
So that the better quality of the arrow you're using, the less you have to lead and the less you have to, like, let it lob.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know.
So it actually adds that little extra bit to the quality of arrow that you're using.
Right, that's cool.
Yeah,
okay,
I really like
it. That's neat.
It also makes it, I have one exactly the same thing for spells.
Oh,
so
okay.
It makes them go faster because I actually got that for the mob. Because no matter where you put the difficulty setting, the projectiles are so slow that I would cast a ball and then sidestep. And then a caster would, the fireball would go right next to me.
Oh, my God.
So a caster cannot hit you if you, like, attack and then sidestep. And attack and then sidestep.
Oh, my God.
Because the projectiles are too slow.
Right.
So I bump up the projectile speed so that I can't do that nearly as often.
That's cool.
I have to actually try and dodge it as opposed to just cast and step to the side.
That's cool. See, there's some really cool mods out for this. Now, I don't remember if we talked about this the last show where there was the item that you can get. You get at a certain level, and there's different levels of the item.
Right.
Okay. Did we mention that?
I don't think so.
Okay. This is fucking stupid. I think. Okay. There's certain items, and I want to say like 20, I guess, or so items in the game that have varying levels. So let's say an item has a level 1 version of itself, a level 5, a level 25, and whatever. Okay. Mm-hmm. Just for the purposes of the example, we need 1, 5, and 25. Now let's say you're adventuring along, and you're able to do this quest at level 4. You get the level 1 item for this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this item was the best item, you know, one of the best items in the game that you cannot ever get now, period.
If you got it at 26, it would have been one of the best.
Right. So you would have to know which quests not to do until you were a certain level, which I think is stupid.
Mm-hmm.
That takes me right out of the reality of the game, you know, because then I start looking on forums. Oh, I can't do this quest. Oh, I can't do that quest. I better just print out a list of what I can and can't do now.
Because you want the Uber.
Because I want the best items. Right, that's stupid. So there's a mod that lets you do whatever the hell quests you want, and if you happen to cross one of those items, it will level with you.
Mm-hmm.
So when I would hit 25, whatever level of, you know, suck-ass I got will now
when
suddenly
you equipped
be...
it.
Right, yeah. Now will be a good item. It'll now be what an appropriate level item. It won't be just some kind of crap junk item that I have waiting around, which I think is a cool mod. There was mods for freaking everything already. There's a lot of stupid ass cheating ones. There was, you know, so of course I skipped past those.
Yeah, I've actually seen more ones that make it like more difficult and
yeah,
or
and like fix something, like
yeah.
Make it darker because it's way too bright during the night, you know,
yeah.
Or make dungeons darker because it's way too freaking bright anyway.
I'm actually surprised at the ratio of non-cheating mods to mod.
You're right. I've probably seen like 1 to 20. It seems like, you know. It's really pretty good.
And sure, you get the mods that, like, add some house that has a burly sword and shield and, like, arrows that just respawn on you.
Right, yeah.
Of course, those mods, but those, yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm staying away from those. There's a couple bug fix mods out there, too. I've seen, like, there's some NPC that has all kinds of issues that players have fixed because Bethesda is nowhere to be seen now. Here's our game. Pay us money. We're going away. Oh, no, I lied. They showed up twice. They want $2 more.
Yeah?
Twice, yeah. You can go to oblivionstore.com or some shit, and they'll sell you, like, armor for your horse for $2. Like, $2 real dollars, it's a mod you can download from them and install to your game. And I think one's, like, armor for your fucking horse, and there's another one, I think, for something else now. So they want to pay for
SOE for giving them the idea.
Yeah. How retarded is... I think that's incredibly stupid.
No paying for patches, thank you very much.
No, yeah. No. Definitely not. This is not going to happen. Sorry.
No one needs to buy that so that it like gets squashed here and now.
No, you know, I'm not so sure if... well, okay. Anyway, I guess the point is because, you know, the mod people that are playing... or not the mod people, the Oblivion owners that are playing on the 360 are kind of left out in the cold. They still have the bugs that we have had. They still are stuck with the crap, you know, whatever. Oh, I got the one for the enchanted weapons too. Where if you have it says flame enchanted dwarven fucking claymore and it just looks like a sword. Come on. Put the effort into it and give it some fire. Yeah. So there's mods for fire, frost, and shock enchanted items. Yeah, it's way cool. I mean, like, full-on nice-looking graphics. I mean, it's cool. There's some pretty neat ones that I went ahead and grabbed out there.
I think this game actually has quite a bit of potential.
It has potential. It's still in the shithouse, if you ask me, though.
Another cool thing about the difficulty slider, because I actually went through an area a second time, what kind of mob will change?
Oh, really?
Like, I went through an area, and it was all these little imp things, these little low-level... And I went through it again, and there were still the imp things, but now there were a couple casters and a couple, like, little dragon dudes.
Oh, wow. And were you higher level or something at the time? No.
Same. I was actually lower level, I think.
Oh, okay. Oh, you literally went through it again.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow. Huh. Okay, that's pretty cool. Oh, and another one I got, because I don't know why I do this. I'm a big fan of, like, alchemy and... related things in these kind of in most RPGs. I don't know why. I think they're cool. So I've got one now that allows me to, like, when I harvest a plant, some of them just disappear, but a lot of them don't do anything. Mm-hmm. So they've got a mod now with, you know, all new graphics and whatnot, so that if, like, you know, I harvest it, it'll change. Like, if it's, you know, grapes or whatever, the grapes disappear, the vines are still there, whatever. It's kind of neat. You know, little touches like that. They could have done but didn't do.
Right.
And I'm kind of disappointed by that. It's like, God, you know, would that have really taken that much more time?
It at least took one guy a couple weeks at best.
Yeah, at most. Yeah. Anyway, two emails here about EVE Online. The first one from Nomad Nightfall Gemini. EVE Online. The way the skill set works is every skill has a time multiplier on it. For example, 1 times 2 times 3 times 4 times, etc. For example, some of my level 5 skills are going to take about 20 days, and Battlecruiser's 5, for example, would take 2 months if I went for it. So, I guess they go up in skill at different rates. Right, Battlecruisers is harder to get than whatever.
Okay, so that helps keeping people from being the same damn level all the time.
I guess.
But it still seems really weird to me. I mean, let's try rewarding actually playing the game.
Right.
As opposed to how long you pay me.
What a novel concept.
I mean, that's rewarding how long they pay each.
Yep, you're right. That's exactly what that sounds like.
Not how long you play or how much or how good you are.
Right, whatever luck you manage to have, even. The pirate raids can only be done in areas with 0.4 security status and below. In higher areas, an Uber Police and Uber Police Corporation, Concord, will appear out of nowhere and kick your ass harsh, leaving you in a little capsule. There's no real ultimate thing in EVE either. For example, a frigate will say Incursus can take on a battleship. We'll say a Megathron and bleed it to death by simply going faster than the Megathron's turrets. Oh yeah, here's the trial link. Now, when I started, I got the trial from MMORPG.com, but they seem to have run out. He gave us a link, and shit on me, I may have screwed up and wrote it on the wrong email. I think I tinyurled it. tinyurl.com/7, D as in dog, Y, 6, and S as in Sam. If that doesn't work, it's https://secure.eve-online.com and then something crazy. You can probably find it on there. Don't know if it works. Hope it helps. Or hope it does. Nomad Nightfall Gemini.
Now, aside from the fact that I don't really consider myself to be interested in playing the sci-fi MMOs, there are some good things that sounds like it's coming from that. It's just the leveling system.
Yeah, that's
really
kind of peculiar.
Janky.
Yeah, it'd be neat to kind of see how it works at least so we can actually get a definite, you know, answer on it. And try as I might to avoid playing this game, I've got a direct link now. Thanks, Nightfall Gemini. Now I have like little to no excuse to play this. Might have to give that a spin, though, just to check it out.
And a lot of people seem to be playing this while they're waiting for the next big thing.
Is that what this is, really? Is it just like we're hanging on here?
I'm sure there's plenty of people who actually like it and will continue playing
it. Well, they got like 23,000 people online at the same goddamn time on one server. I mean, that's not a fuckload of people. It's not like you're looking at even a tenth of Blizzard's users, you know, for WoW, but minus one. You know, but it just doesn't seem like it's that big of a game. It really does seem like it's kind of a, well, that was some neat ideas. Nice try.
I'd really like to see a graph of, like, North American players of WoW. I bet you it's dropping rather quickly.
Probably. I would think.
So many Asian company customers, which is just huge numbers.
Right.
If your game sucks, you can pull out a million people from China.
Yeah.
I mean, how many people live there?
You're right. That's a very good point. I would like to know that. That would be some really, really good information there, as a matter of fact.
And I don't think Blizzard will ever cop to it. They'll say, oh, well, we only have 3 million players now. It's a shame 2.9 of them are in China.
Yeah, in Korea.
You know, yeah, so we'll never know anymore.
Yeah, you're right.
Which is a shame, because I'd like to know. I bet you they're jumping ship.
But we'll get to that, too, in a second here. Let's see. More EVE Online from Frozen Walkway. He's the one who sent us the email before that left us scratching our heads and completely confused. Okay, sorry about last email. I'll try to structure this email better. In this game, you are the captain of a ship. You do not actively pilot, navigate, or shoot.
Pardon? The game just takes you wherever it wants you to?
So we just pay them, and they level for us, and they fly for us and shoot. Now, we're just making jokes. Think spaceship management MMO. Okay, don't, but whatever. You start as a major space station where you get a noob ship. The way you get Uber Elite in this game is to get a lot of fucking money and a badass ship. Oh, and a bunch of friends also with a lot of money and badass ships. About these skills, every skill has 5 levels, okay? The way you level up is by basically waiting. A lot of it is time management. You can only level 1 skill on your account at a time. Aha. The higher levels of the skill take longer. The speed of leveling depends on the attributes of your character and what those attributes relate to. These are just estimates of what I remember. Level 1 equals 5 to 30 minutes. Level 2, 2 to 3 hours. Level 3 equals 12 to 26 hours. Level 4, 3 to 7 days. Level 5, I don't know. I never got that far. Right. Didn't he play the trial? Mm-hmm. There are many various skills. Every skill has branching skills. Example, say you want to be able to use a heavy missile launcher with auto-homing missiles. You would need the basic missile launcher skill at a certain level, let's say 3, to be able to use the heavy missile launcher skill. Okay, that makes some sense there. Then you would need to buy the auto-homing missile skill so you can use the auto-homing missiles. Just think of it as an RTS tech tree, except bigger, much bigger, and wider. Okay, so with that in mind, the rate at which you level basically depends on the time and skill management real-life skills, and on your natural attributes you chose in player creation. Now, what do you do with these skills, you may ask? You probably didn't. Say you want to buy a pimp-ass battlecruiser, you would need to get, like, level 4 frigate skill, noob-class ship, and, like, navigation level 4, so you can even pilot it. Other skills affect your ship also. In player creation, you choose your nation or sector, then you choose your race and gender. And then I gotta turn the page, but they're stuck. Okay, you choose a bunch of things that give you different starting skills and attributes. I hope that explains the skills part. That clarifies a lot there. Between these two, I got a pretty good idea of how this crap works now. Mm-hmm. Now, moving on to races, classes, blah, blah, blah. Oh, and to the backstory. Oh, man, this kind has gone out as far as I can go. Man has gone out as far as it can go in this universe and still wants more shit because man is a fucking greedy bastard whore. No, that's not what he said, but close enough. A wormhole pops up somewhere, and they start sending people back and forth and shit. They start making colonies and shit. Lots of shit here. And then the wormhole closes, and everyone is like, oh, what the fuck? Then civil war breaks out, galactic civil war, mind you, and 4 nations are established. Kaldari State. Super, uber, militant, greedy motherfuckers, basically. Corporation ruled. Galante Federation. Believers in freedom and shit. I believe in shit. Shit is real. Amar Empire. Religious people ruled by emperor, biggest nation, like to enslave Minmatar. I don't know what that word was supposed to be. It's this next group. Enslave these other guys. These other guys are Minmatar, M-I-N-M-A-T-I-R Republic. These guys are like the suppressed slave race. If you want to relate this to real life history, Galente are the north in the Civil War, and the Amar are the south, Minmatar are the slaves. So nationality, great. Then you have races and blah blah. Okay, each race has specialties like auto cannon or drones or whatever, so yeah, pick that. I hope you did a better job of, I hope I did a better job of explaining this game this time. Good luck to you guys. See ya. Oh, and a perk, the game looks nice, but it helps that most of the objects are space, things like ships and rocks and stations and shit.
Nice.
Gotta have the and shit there. All right. Well, that is much better. That clears things up a lot. Don't know if this game sounds like it's my style. It really doesn't.
The whole skill thing sounds pretty cool, actually, the tree and whatnot.
Right.
Except for the fact that it's all based on how long you've been playing.
Right.
Like, literally days.
Yeah, and what's weird is, like, do I have to actually be logged in?
I don't think so.
It doesn't sound like it. Sounds like I may as well
just... You can't make level 3 26 hours of play time.
That's
too much.
That'd be some hardcore shit. Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess you're right. Yeah, because the other one was 3 to 7 days or something, level 4.
And then level 5 is however many.
It's like months or some shit. Yeah, you're right. All right, GeoKing sends us an email about a new zombie MMO called Exanimus. It's Exanimus, thegame.com. Exanimus, thegame.com. And he ripped this right off the site. Exanimus, I think I'm pronouncing that right, is an online massively multiplayer online game created in a world where the dead live and roam the earth eating the flesh of the living. While most of the world is dead, there are small pockets of survivors that exist in barricaded cities scattered across the globe. Players of Exanimus will have the option of playing as a living survivor or as one of the dead roaming the earth. Exanimus will allow players to experience a MMO based... This probably should be an MMO. Based in a horror genre... What the fuck? That looks like spelled wrong, too. By creating a dark and... He copied this from the site, though. And dark and visually intense environment. Exanimus is expected to be rated mature and not intended for anyone under the age of 18. Exanimus is currently in pre-production, but we welcome everyone to visit our website and forums to learn about the Exanimus as we continue to release news updates, dev logs, and other bits as the game progresses. It is our hope to integrate our community heavily in the development of the game, so we invite everyone to keep checking in for news and updates. We have many surprises in store and hope everyone will be as excited as we are for this new type of MMO. Now, nothing at all sounds new type about this at all. It sounds like Horde, Undead, Alliance, Living, and we get to, like, fight things.
Yeah.
Cool beans,
guys. I will
guys.
Say I'm all about the whole M-rated MMO.
Right. Okay, that's pretty cool. I'll give them that. Okay, right on. I'll give them that. Hopefully it'll keep some of the kids out of these fucking games, okay? Tired of that shit from World of Warcraft. Now, this was the email I did not read. This was gigantic. It's from Trake M. My thoughts on a previous game radio episode. Dear C4 and Kobar. It's spelled with a K. Haven't we mentioned that before? I know. I glanced through it. He's got it in here 4 times, I think.
With a C.
I was chatting with some guy online not long ago. He wanted to know what games he should get, so I started to suggest a few of my favorites, and so I told him what they were. He wanted a description of them, so I started telling him about the cool features they had in them. How Fear had a great facial animation, and how Half-Life 2 offers great physics, etc. However, he didn't care. What he wanted to know was what the theme was. So I told him that God of War was loosely based on Greek mythology, but he had no interest in it because you didn't kill cops. I asked him why he was so obsessed in a game about killing cops, and he told me that it's because it's cool. So I told him he should buy a piece of crap, like 25 to life, if that's all he cared about, and that the good games typically didn't have that kind of thing in them. Later on today, I got to thinking about a previous episode of C4 and Kobar. You were talking... that's what he said. You were talking about how some people buy crappy games. I don't remember which game you were talking about. It might have been that 50 Cent game. I'm not sure. What I do remember, though, is the suggestion that some people do that is because they think it's what games should be like. I kind of remember talking about that.
It was in regard specifically to the Echo game with the spray painting.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Getting up or something?
Yeah, contents under pressure, getting up, yeah. That they keep on buying movie license games that suck because games are supposed to suck or be average. I thought the idea was a bit absurd because I can't imagine anyone saying, hey, I'm going to go get an average game instead of a great game because games are supposed to be average. That's a great sentence. Thinking about it now, though, I think I know why some people keep on buying so many average and crappy games. They aren't concerned with whether the game is quality or not. It's not the criteria they buy based on. That's not the criteria they buy based on. It reminded me of a thread I read on a forum once. This is like the guy's whole thought process of like what took him 15 seconds to think up. And like, it's like 2 pages of an email. This is crazy. It's like hella detailed. It reminded me of a thread I read on a forum once. There was a discussion about some review that Maxim gave of a game that wasn't out yet. They rated it 5 out of 5, according to the post, and someone responded by saying that Maxim doesn't even bother playing a game before they review it. They review the game based on the image of the game. That is to say, it doesn't matter how good the game plays, it doesn't matter if it's innovative. It doesn't matter how good the storyline is. All that matters is how cool the game is. The game can play like crap just so long as you play a gangster, and there are hookers in the game, so it will get a 5 out of 5. Meanwhile, Ratchet and Clank doesn't have hookers, so it must suck. I don't know if that's what he was saying about Maxim was true or not, nor do I care, but I pointed it out to say I think it's how a lot of people rate games in their head, and how a lot of people make their buying decisions.
Well, I'd like to say, given what Maxim is,
right,
I think that's fair.
Right.
I mean, that's totally. What they do. It's about image.
I don't read this crap is Cosmo for guys. The most superficial, worthless piece of crap in print for males, okay?
If anything...
Does anybody really expect anything good out of it, though?
I would kind of expect them to rate games like that as opposed to actually playing them and rating them on their actual like playability and whatnot, because it's what the kind of magazine is
for, right? They're going to rate
it's about trends,
jigglies,
and
right, exactly. Oh, that just left a bad. Just saying those words, I need to wash my mouth out now. I think many of these people buy games based on image. They aren't concerned about features or gameplay or production values. They aren't looking for a great game. They're looking for a cool game. So when they see Prey and Blood Rain, they'll go for Blood Rain. Who cares if Prey has interesting teleporters that really have an impact on gameplay? Who cares if it does interesting things when gravity? We haven't seen that in an FPS before. The image of a Native American Indian just isn't cool, but the image of a hot chick vampire that shoots Nazis with blood is a whole different story. That's very cool, so it must be good. So that's what they go for, a cool game. When they see Playboy the Mansion and The Sims, they go for Playboy the Mansion. Sure, The Sims is made by Will Wright and is well made with lots of features. Hell, you even have weird scenarios. The space aliens trying to be popular, and your characters can have kids that will be based on who their parents are, but who cares? The image of children whining child is nowhere... that doesn't make any sense. The image of children or whining children is nowhere near as cool as the image of a naked Playboy bunny. So Playboy the Mansion wins.
I'd have to say Playboy the Mansion wins.
The Sims is pretty bad.
I don't like The Sims.
No, but you know what? Think about it, though. Did you ever play it? Did you ever actually play the first one?
I've tried to play both of them.
Oh, okay. I only ever played the first one, and I played it for a week, and I was hooked. I was, like, blown away by how I've never seen a game like this before, and oh my god, this guy has to pee. I get to control somebody peeing. I get to control this guy showering. I get to make a little virtual me who's going to wind up sad and alone and die in a puddle of his own piss in his living room surrounded by computers and TVs. And that's what happened. But, you know, it was still a hell of a lot of fun, though. I mean, there is something there with The Sims. It really is a good game. And I can say without a doubt, I can tell you it's a better game than the Playboy game. It's got to be.
Oh, I'm sure it is. But the Playboy game has... like
jigglies.
Yeah,
that's it. And this is the point of his email, and it's really interesting too. I'm actually really glad we got this has never come up before.
I am too. It's just I think that The Sims and
right. Well, yeah.
Example.
Yeah, probably pretty bad example because that does suck. I really think Prey would sell better if they replaced their lead character with a lesbian vampire with large bouncing breasts. I know it's sad, but I really think it's true. I mean, there are a lot of people who buy games based on image. If there weren't, do you really think there would be a game a sequel to a game like Blood Rain? Sure. Changing the lead character to a lesbian vampire wouldn't make the game any better. Hell, it would make a lot less sense as far as the storyline goes. Why the hell is this Indian guy teaching a lesbian vampire spirit walking again? But it wouldn't matter to the people who buy a game based on image alone. Let's face it, if you buy a game for its features and gameplay, you'll still buy Prey for those teleporters and the new gravity features. On the other hand, given how many games there are with hot chick lead characters, you might not, because you've come to expect any game with such a lead character to suck. While it is sad to come to such a realization, I don't think the situation is that bad. I don't think the gamers that buy on image alone are the majority. I really do think that gamers are probably one of the smartest consumer groups out there. Sure, many gamers make stupid choices because the lead character of X game is a hot chick. But take a look at the top 20 games of 2005. Take a look at the games that were nominated for Game of the Year at the top websites and publications. Are any of these games bad games? I think not. I think the games that are selling the most and winning the awards are usually some pretty damn good games. Look at it this way. At least the gaming industry hasn't gotten so bad that Rumble Roses would be top contender for Game of the Year because it's got lesbians. If Brokeback Mountain were a game, I can tell you the gaming industry wouldn't be stupid enough to nominate it for Game of the Year just because it's got gay cowboys in it. Sincerely, Trake M.
You didn't see the video game music,
the Spike TV Awards? Yeah. All the movie games? Okay. Fantastic email there. I'm actually glad we saved that for the last because that was that powerful, hard hitting journalism that we bring here.
It's hardly just the video game industry, though. I mean, look at clothing brand name, this, that, and the other. It doesn't matter the quality of the product. It matters how cool it is.
I'd like to see sales figures for Echo.
I bet they're ridiculously high.
I bet they are, too, for such a probably creptacular game.
I mean, I doubt it's selling like gangbusters, but I bet it's more than it should be.
Yeah, I bet you're right, too. But that was really good. I don't think I've ever had, and I'm glad that it was that he like broke it down the process, because it's like, it almost sounds like sheer chance how that would happen.
Mm-hmm.
I have never had anybody mention to me that before, really, which is odd because I've made decisions like that. I have straight up walked into a store and been like, I need a new game today. And I'm looking, what am I looking at? The fucking box art. You know, I tend to gravitate, I've discovered. You can sell me the shittiest game in the world if it's got anime drawings on the cover. I am such a whore for that. I walk in there and I'm like, ooh, this looks really good. I know nothing about the game, but the art is pretty slick.
Okay, well, it comes to a point where the storyline and the feeling of the game matters. I mean, it's not... Just because you're buying something because it's got that style of artwork or that type of gameplay, like fantasy or sci-fi,
right,
that's not a bad thing. He's saying that.
No, I have a pretty good indication of what I'm looking at, though. Right? You know, like I look at it like, you know, the Suikoden 3 box, and I'm like, that looks fat. I should look into this game. That's I notice I do that, but granted, I'm not gonna walk in and see some crap like Leisure Suit Larry and just be like, oh, look at there's 4 boobs on the cover.
Leisure Suit Larry is the shit. All the way from 1 to 13 or whatever they have.
5? 6?
No.
Is there more than that? Oh, no. Yeah. Is there really? Yeah. I didn't think it was maybe, I want to say 7? I didn't think there was more than that. I didn't think they were in their 10s or so. In any case.
13, I think 13's high. I just kind of threw that out.
Yeah,
but they have a lot. I mean, hell, there was like 5 of them.
I remember back in the day, playing on an old XT 10 megahertz computer.
There was like 5 of them before they even had like any kind of clickies. Jesus. It was all like, walk here.
Yeah, huh. That was some old school stuff. But, all right, well, that's pretty sad. And he's right, though. He's dead on.
No, but like I was saying, there's a big difference between going, hey, that looks trendy, and... Right. Hey, this is based in fantasy or sci-fi.
Right, absolutely.
Sure, you're going to want the kind of style that you're into.
Of course. I'm going to look at the role-playing game and look for the anime art and pick that over something that would have paints, you know, like a painting of the box art on it. Yeah. Just that I would notice that I do kind of do that. I would gravitate towards the hand-drawn anime style. I don't care if it's the same fucking game. Mm-hmm. I'd pick the other box.
But that's different than what he's talking
about. Right. I'm going to go out and buy Mark Echo right now. Now, also, he did say that gamers are vigilant consumers or whatever most... what the hell did he say? About, you know, gamers are pretty on top of the ball. Right. That's dead on. Most of the time, I talk to somebody, they know what the fuck they're talking about. You know, they may not have a clue whether it's actually good or not, but at least they know what they're looking for. They have a product in mind or whatever. They're pretty clued in for the most part. You know, I have noticed that about the consumers, the gaming consumers.
I think it's waning, though. I think that's just sheer numbers of people coming into the gaming world.
Walk into your local whatever and dress up like an employee and ask people if they need help at a game store. They'll tell you no 9 times out of 10. They know what they're there for. I do it at my job all the time. I walk down the game aisle just because I want to look at games.
Right.
You know, and I'm like, you guys need any help? And they look at me like, how fucking retarded are you, buddy? I'm here to buy a game and I probably know what I'm looking for. You know, and it's just like, I feel like a moron. Now go to the computer section. And ask that same question. Do you need any help? You will not get out of there for 2 hours. You know, it's just that you know, the gamers are more clued in. Speaking of gaming consumers, Kopar and I had a nice little adventure today. We basically set out on a mission to...
Spend money.
To spend money. How difficult of a situation is this? I basically am like, okay, I'm going to light somewhere between $20 and $50 on fire. I have no money, I don't care, and I want to play something fun today. And since I'm not playing World of Warcraft because that game blows ass and everybody who's still playing after more than 3 months is probably fucking deficient mentally, I fucking decided we should play some cool LAN games here. Now, whatever that is, I didn't know. We hadn't worked it out yet. And I thought, oh, God, I remember having fun playing Diablo on LAN games. I remember having fun with StarCraft and Heroes of Might and Magic and fucking Age of Empires. Those were great games. You know, Unreal Tournament, Quake 3, you know, whatever, what have you. There were some cool games I used to play over LANs there. Haven't played a game like that in a long time. Usually everything now is interweb-based. Mm-hmm. So we said, you know, let's go to the store and take a look at some things, because, see, I've got Warcraft 3. Kobar here is not such a huge fan of getting stomped. And that's the fun for me, is playing other people. I hate the computer. So that's not really a fair game to play. So it's like, okay, we'll go find something. And I thought, Diablo. God, I haven't played Diablo 2 in a long time. Now, Kobar here, being the only person with his sense on his head, tells me and reminds me, this game kind of sucks, man. You know, the graphics blow, yada yada. In my head, though, it was a fantastic looking game. Boy, was he right. But anyway, the point of the whole story was, we go down to the local Best Buy here, and we spent, how long? We spent a good half an hour in there?
Probably.
The entire time we spent, it wasn't dilly-dallying with, you know, talking with people or anything. It was just, yeah, bam, we walked in, we glanced at video cards, we made some kind of comment. Took us 2 minutes, bam, we're off in the computer game section. Stay there about a good 15 minutes the first trip.
On just a single shelf.
On right, like, right.
Two sides of a single shelf.
We looked at the one side and scrutinized every game there. Kind of got a little dissuaded. We'll go look at some console games, okay? 15 solid minutes of looking at every available game in the goddamn store. We go to the console games, and it was like, as fast as like you would normally pace up and down an aisle, you know, looking at the actual products, is how fast we made it through like four shelves worth of, it was like 2.5 aisles, but there was like four shelves mm-hmm. worth of console games. Sad.
Nothing even jumped out for a second.
Yeah, there was nothing that was even like, oh, hey, I kind of wanted to play that. That kind of looked neat. The only thing I saw there was Black, which I've heard some pretty disheartening things about, which unfortunately I thought we were going to get to talk about this week, but it'll probably be next week. We wound up back at the PC games again. This time managed to look at both sides of the shelf. Looks like Quake 4 is already down to $29.99. You know, there was plenty of copies of Counter-Strike there. You could still pick up brand new copies of the Half-Life, what was that now? Game of the Year pack or some shit, or Platinum Edition, or whatever the hell stupid crap it was. There was, what else did we see a lot of there?
That new Lord of the Rings Battle for Middle-earth 2.
Okay, that would probably be the one thing that jumped out at me when I was there. Like, wow, you know, I really haven't heard anything either way about that. It might be kind of cool, but it's 50 bucks, and I'm not sure.
Stuff,
really?
Yeah.
I might have to, do they have a demo for it or something?
Maybe.
I'm going to have to look out for that, because that actually might be pretty good. I've heard some things that kind of made me not so sure, though. But basically, we wanted to find something that we could just kind of, you know, buy two copies of, play them on the LAN, have a good time without spending, you know, 14 hours trying to learn how to play it or configure your controls and make sure it ran on Kobar's reasonably burly laptop. You know, we seriously, there is not a damn thing out there. We could not, you know what? I wound up buying the Diablo Battle Chest for $34.66 or something. I could not believe that's what we came back with.
$40 if you're not an employee.
Right, plus tax after that. You know, and it was just like, wow, how crappy is that? I am depressed. Like, I am really upset. Like, I know there's games out there. I just cannot tell you what they are because we looked and didn't see a damn thing out there. I didn't see shit worth buying. I'm upset.
It's pretty sad, the state of the gaming
world. It really is. And, like, I keep telling myself, okay, Oblivion's out. That's going to take some serious single-player time here. You know, am I expected to play Doom 3 again? Am I supposed to be going through Fear for my third time? Or should I be waiting for something good?
Well, you should try Oblivion.
I plan on it. I'm working on the mods to make the game playable. I'm getting closer every day.
The interface is not as bad as you say it is.
Yes, it is. It's not.
You take 5 minutes to just go through it and kind of figure it out.
I'm this close to hooking up my controller.
You should, just to see how it controls.
Yeah, that's probably going to happen at some
Especially
point.
Especially if you could like switch to the mouse for your bow.
Oh, yeah.
That might actually be really cool.
That might, yeah, maybe, huh? Maybe. Now, as you heard me mention a few minutes ago, I did quit playing World of Warcraft, finally. I ended up 3 months, and I'm, like, done with this game. So, I don't want to hear any more about it. It's fucking trash, and I cannot see what people are still playing this crap for, honest to God. There's nothing there. Hello. Other games have more content. Blizzard's not telling you what it was. See, is I had my head so far up Blizzard's ass that all the shit got packed in my ears. And it was all I could hear was Blizzard's praise. And it was like, that's all I heard was fanboys on the internet for months telling me how great this game is. And so, fine, fine. I will fucking break down and play this crap. 3 months went by. Account actually was closed, like finalized closed, three days ago. 3 days ago, it was actually like finally expired. And here's the part that's just that really seals the deal for me. I don't miss it is the weird part. Okay, once you hit 60, you become a level 60 farmer. That's just it. That's it. Okay, you can do the same raid instances over and over and over and over and over and over, all five of them, and fight those really awesome hard bosses because, you know, the mod that you have installed that tells you when to get out of the way of the breath weapon, you know, really doesn't seem to help that much. Not everybody has that. Pshaw. Yes, they do. Okay. I should do a whole show on how much WoW sucks. That would be fucking awesome. Okay. But how come I don't miss it? When I quit EverQuest 2, I'll go back first. When I quit Final Fantasy 11, I pretty much felt like I had, like, a miscarriage.
You were, like, green, you know, and, like, sweating all the time, like, wandering around the house in your house coat.
Seriously, like, did not know what to... I was, like, shocked. Like, in some serious kind of, like, weird state of, like, I don't know, that my mind was blown. It was bad. It was really bad. And to this day, I think about it. EverQuest 2 was not as bad, probably because I played it for about 3 months less. You know, maybe it didn't sink in as much. But I had a lot of fun with that, and it was a different kind of fun. I had a lot of single-player stuff in Final Fantasy, it seemed like I did, and then lots of fighting for groups. In EverQuest, it was more like I had a pretty good group I ran with all the time, but it was like, once I got to the end, it was nothing but piles of guild drama and loot and fighting the same crappy mobs and bugs and bad patches from Sony. You know, so Sony made it leave a little bad taste in my mouth, you know, a little extra piss in my vinegar, you know. Right. It was just like they kind of screwed with me a little bit too much. And World of Warcraft, it's like, well, yeah, I've done everything I can really do here, and I have only not been to two zones. Peace out. Fuck this game. What? Am I missing out on farming? It's like they think with that line, I need that for the intro from Cypress Hill. And it's like Chong or Cheech, one of them. What do I look like, a rancher? That's what I felt like. Like, I'm out farming all day long, and that's all you do.
For
no reason. I'm not getting anywhere. 700 gold, the best gear I can pick up without, you know, spending the next 6 months in a raid instance, the same one, mind you. Why? There's no point. Killed that stupid Anixia dragon. Okay, moving along. We got AQ-40 I didn't do, and Molten Core. Went through Blackwing Lair, went through ZG up until, like, just a little bit, not towards the end. Just a little bit from the end. So, what else was there? Lots and lots of battlegrounds that suck. The one cool one I was already done with and was exalted. And anyway, I don't want to talk about this crap anymore. In news this week! I wanted to mention this before, actually, and it didn't actually come up somehow. Dual screen radio. If you've ever... I know a lot of our listeners listen to retro gaming radio with Shane R. Monroe. Anyway, he does a new show called Dual Screen Radio, and the website is dualscreenradio.com. That's D-U-A-L, morons. It's not like he's fighting, okay? And it's about the Nintendo DS. And as much as I may or may not listen to retro gaming radio, I find myself actually listening to every episode of Dual Screen Radio. It's good stuff. It's very exciting and keeps me awake.
Really?
Yeah. And it's informative, and they've got some, him and some other dude, they've got some good points on there. I'm actually an episode behind, come to think of it. I think there's only like five anyway right now. Good stuff. DualScreenRadio.com. There was a news story out this week about the PlayStation 3, everybody's favorite topic, because, you know, everybody's already decided it's going to beat every other console out there.
Of course.
Now, I guess now you'll have to help me here. It was the head of Sony of France.
I don't know where it came from.
Oh, okay. I think it was the head of Sony of France on a radio show.
I heard it through the grapevine.
Okay. Hinted at the price of the PlayStation 3 in euros, though. Right? Yeah. Like, not here in America. And blah, 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 blah. Somewhere around 500 to 600 euros.
Which is more in US dollars. That's like...
605... to 726 US dollars.
Yeah.
For a PlayStation 3 that doesn't even get all the fat out of your burger like my George Foreman grill. 605 to 726 fucking dollars.
Now.
Using current exchange rates anyway.
Right. And we also, however, tend to pay a little less.
Right, right.
Than they do.
I like to think they pay a little more because they're not us.
Right.
Okay. So obviously we're going to have to adjust that a little bit. And actually, you and I totally dropped the ball. We planned on figuring that out roughly what it was. So, what was the average game price roughly for Europe?
I think it was like 65.
65. So about $15 more than we would pay out of our 50. So, let's crunch some numbers here. 30 for 100 times 6. $180 less for us then, maybe. Roughly. So that's about a 400-ish. 425-ish.
If we're lucky. I mean...
Right, to
that's trying to take...
something.
That very well could be doing apples and oranges there.
I mean, right, right. Don't know.
I say this looks like we're probably spending $500 on a PS3.
That would be a very safe bet.
That's my current guess given this information.
I would have said on any other day of the week, $400. And the reason I would have said that is simply because the Xbox did it. You know, didn't they have $299 and $399?
I think so.
Right. For the premium one, it was $400. And on any normal day of the week, I would have said $400. But then you said something to me today while we were having our Vietnamese food, is that Sony has probably already pretty much decided the 360 launch was a flop, and that they're not afraid of them now, and they know they can, and they pretty much just can waltz in and corner the market again.
Right.
Now, the only thing they might be fearing would be the revolution, but Sony, the cocky dicks that they are...
I really think, even though I'm a big Nintendo fan, I really hope the world for revolution, I almost think that it's like a side thing.
Right, like you're going like to have an Xbox or a PlayStation 3 and a revolution. Right, right.
And the revolution is just kind of not quite in the same race, not quite in the same...
Right, maybe category. They've kind of stepped out and just... Let you two bitches battle it out. One of you's not pretty. You guys figure it out, you know? Right? We're just going to sit over here and do our little thing, you know?
And I think that's a great place for Nintendo to go.
Yeah, that's a nice safe place, for one. Two, it allows them to put them into a striking distance, though. It's not like they're out of the game. Not like they said, we're going to skip this round. You know? They're saying, we're here. Not going to run with you guys. Knock yourselves out.
Mm-hmm.
Hey. That's not a bad business idea there. I mean, it must have sounded absurd when they first thought it up, though. But I'm sure once they fleshed out the ideas, you know, we've got the revolution as we know it today.
I think it's going to work out for them.
Now, the PlayStation 3 supposedly is going to ship with a Blu-ray drive and, you know, all the nice high-definition support and everything. Those are the two major expensive parts of this damn thing, though. The cost of Blu-ray drives is astronomical right now.
My question is, why?
Why what?
We're barely using...
Wait. Why what? I'm ready for war on this. I got jokes lined up for weeks. Which part?
To using a Blu-ray disc.
Because Final Fantasy 13, man.
Okay.
7,500 hours of video. You're going to need a Blu-ray disc. You know, 15 minutes of gameplay.
Yeah, but at the same time, we're like barely using the two-layer regular DVDs that we already have. I mean, there's like, what, 10 games on the PS2 that use the dual layer?
Right, yeah, and not very well. They have lots of problems, but that aside, right, we don't need that much space.
I mean, try using two discs.
Look at games like fucking World of Warcraft, okay? That fits on, you know, a DVD. Uno. Yeah. One, single-sided, okay? It's less than that even, I'm sure. And then you've got games like, you know, Doom 3. So how many CDs? Three CDs? Maybe four, I can't remember now. I think three CDs. They're not that big, these computer games. Where there's more to them.
Mm-hmm.
And consoles don't need this kind of storage. Now, of course, the PS2, part of its selling point back then, anyway, was it was a cheap DVD player. Mm-hmm. That was a huge, huge selling point for that thing, though. I remember it was like, wow, it's cheaper than a DVD player, plus it plays PS2 games. Now, you know, pretty soon we're going to start having these Blu-ray movies. They're going to be, you know, mega quality on a Blu-ray disc because they've got, you know, video data is huge.
Okay.
And they're going to need a player.
The thing about DVD quality video is, I've done the ripping and the lowering of quality. You can lower most DVDs by a large percent.
By like a tenth of the size.
And you cannot see the difference on our TVs because our TVs just aren't built.
Our TVs aren't.
True.
Bill's TV is. Okay. Yeah, but he's got a high-def TV.
His TV is built for regular DVDs. His TV won't see the difference in some, like, 18-gig movie.
Right.
Yeah. It won't.
Probably not now, but, I mean, you know, in the future, we're going to have, let's say the PS2 comes out at the end of this year, or the PS3 comes out at the end of this year, and 2 years from now, we're going to have better TVs that are able to view, you know, that extra resolution, that 2000 whatever by whatever is going to be the minimum, say.
I'm not so sure.
Because, well, I'm not so sure either.
90% of the populace doesn't even have HD TVs as it is.
I don't know if it's that high. Well, I'd say 90% of Americans don't have that.
Okay.
We're way the fuck far behind on all of our television technology. We have been for years as it is anyway. So,
which is funny because we watch more TV than anybody
else. Fucking pieces of shit, you know? Yeah, okay. Anyway.
I'm just not so sure this is a real... I think the only reason they're thinking about doing it is so they can, like, push their Blu-ray.
Right, yeah, right, right.
Look at this.
Right, exactly. Made by Sony. Come spend some more money. Pay us, right? And let's hope they don't pull, you know, some dumb shit like they do on the, like, the UMD discs, which were, you know, the UMDs, like, for the PSP, that they're like, oh, fuck, nobody's buying these movies. Maybe we're just going to cut down on our production of these now. You know, because I'm hearing that they want to make less movies on UMD discs. Okay, so, you know, I'm kind of out of things to say. I don't see the PS3 being worth no $500. I really don't.
It might even be more than that.
Right.
It all depends
on... We're being nice.
like I said earlier, before we started recording, they might decide we don't have to take a hit at all because we got no real competition.
Right. Yeah, that's true. That's very true. They're not afraid of Nintendo.
No.
They're definitely not afraid of Nintendo. And they're going to try to remust for every penny they can anyway. Why wouldn't they? You know? That's kind of scary, you know? Plus all their, you know, they've got their Blu-ray thing and they're all the high-def stuff they can do with this thing.
I mean, sure, it's gonna be costly. There's a lot of power in these. And I understand that they cost quite a bit to make. And, well, you spend $2,000 on a computer. The computer does so much, so many other things.
Right. Not just play.
I'm not spending $2,000 on just playing video games.
We've got a hardware review. I don't want to milk this PS3 thing. The story was kind of short anyway.
Yeah.
But we do have another hardware thing here. We don't get to do hardware reviews on here too often. And it's mainly because, you know, I mean, it's pretty standard fare to, you know, hop on a website and look at different benchmarks for a million different video cards and make your pick. And that's the major thing that we wind up, you know, concerning ourselves with here in video game land, you know, is the video cards. However, I mean, that's not to say it's the only thing that actually applies. I like to have a network card and I don't believe in onboard anything really. Mm-hmm. However, as a lot of the listeners know, we used to run off of an original Creative Labs Odyssey. And how much I hate Creative Labs. And when my Odyssey died, it's like, well, fuck them. I'm going to use the onboard audio here for a while and get used to that and see how that goes. I didn't like it. Every 5 days, this machine would stay on. I'd never turn off my computers. This other one had 90 days of uptime before I had to turn it off the other day for something stupid. This one can't get 4 days without needing a reboot. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure what's to blame because the sound gets all choppy and skippy and weird and everything, and it's only with disk access. So if I'm playing an MP3 and try to open up a video file, all of a sudden it's like, and really bizarre. And I reboot and it's fine for 4 days, 5 days. And I don't know who to blame. For a while, it's an Intel motherboard with Realtek audio. They were putting out new drivers. It seemed like once every 2 weeks for months they're trying to fix whatever their problems are. They've never been resolved. So I've never been happy with it. I don't like the idea of it anyway. Well, I've been, you know, it's like, what do you do? Okay, you can't... There's nothing really else out there that's a big-name sound card manufacturer for mass market anyway. Nothing that's universally supported by most games either. You know, there's very little out there. You're kind of stuck with Creative Labs, which is one of the many complaints I have with them. And then, kind of like World of Warcraft, how shit you just keep hearing about it, and no matter what you do, you can't get away from it. You know, people I know at work either got one, or I've seen a review online, or I heard this. I even got a mouse pad the other day.
That mouse pad, by the way, is very nice for optical mice.
It's pretty cool, and I'm not going to call it a mouse pad. One of the guys at work had a great name for it. He called it the Hardcore Gaming Surface.
There you go.
And it's less mouse pad, more of just like a sticky rectangle that's really flat. There's no foam on it. It just kind of sticks to your desk. It's pretty cool.
That's great.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. You want one? Huh? You want one?
If you got one.
Yes, I do.
The problem is my mouse, my girlfriend spilt soda on my desk underneath my mouse pad.
Perfect. So yours doesn't slide.
Yeah, mine's already stuck to my desk. Upside down.
Oh.
It's upside down Dungeon Siege 2 mouse pad.
That's funny shit. We had the Creative Labs reps come into our store the other day. And it's, and I just, they wouldn't let me get near them. Like the other employees were like, dude, no. I'm like, let me at him. Come on, I'm going to tear him a new asshole.
If you have an extra one lying around, I'll go ahead and grab it and definitely. Try to get mine off.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I like that.
Mine was, I had an old Slackware mouse pad, mm-hmm. and it has tucks on it. And at one point in time, when I originally got it, you know, 5 years ago, he was, you know, black and white, look all happy, and it says Slackware across it. Now it's like hand grease gray and faded black. And it was just, it was time. And I got this for free, you know, and I was like, okay, fine, whatever. They left a pile of them there, so I took, you know, I got it. And they had some other crap, like a hat. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to wear a fucking Creative Labs hat around. In fact, I want an Oblivion hat. Oblivionstore.com, I think, was the actual official store website for it. The only item they're sold out of?
The hat?
The hat. So I'm kind of pissed. In any case, so turns out the one of the lowest version of the brand new, well, not brand new, but the latest anyway, Creative Labs audio cards was on sale. The Creative Labs X-Fi Extreme Music retails for $129. That's the MSRP on it, plus tax, of course. But it was on sale for $99 all last week. So I waited until the last day, and then I cheated, and I looked at the next week's ad. Right, to find out if it was on sale or the platinum one was on sale or whatever I could get. And I figured, fuck, it's $100. I'm tired of hating my audio. So I'm just going to do it, you know? Fuck it. I'll try it out if it sucks balls and if it's got too many problems, I can just return it, you know? Yeah. Why not? I need better audio. And I don't know if Creative Labs is exactly better or at least different than Realtek. So at this point, anyway, I'm pretty pleased with it. Now, it's only been about 2 days is the problem. I can't determine if the problem lies with my machine, which I don't believe it does, because it did not do that with the Odyssey, and I haven't, like, reinstalled Windows or anything since then.
Yeah, it did kind of appear when the Odyssey went crap.
Went dead, right. So I'm not quite sure if it was just strictly related to Realtek or what. But now, if you haven't ever heard of this thing, it's basically Creative Labs' latest offering for sound cards, which before everybody knew that we had the Sound Blaster Live, incredibly popular. I apparently had 5 of them. Okay, and I know this because I found all the driver discs yesterday. I have like a little book that I keep all actual driver discs in, you know, and I went to go add my X-Fi disc, and I went, oh, Sound Blaster Live, I haven't had one of these in years, toss. Sound Blaster Live, toss. Odyssey, toss. Live, toss. And I had like the original one, and like you could see that I kept buying them, like in certain periods, because they changed their logo, and then it would only say Windows 95, 98, then it would say Millennium 2000, then it would say, you know, blah, 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 XP.
Right, right.
It was like, wow, this is fucking terrible that I paid them that much money for such a shitball thing. I was happy with the Odyssey. I guess there's 3 different ones, Odyssey 1, 2, and 4. Don't ask me. I have no idea. And I've never seen an Odyssey 3, but I've seen 1, 2, and 4. And in fact, on their website, they only list 1, 2, and 4, if I remember right, if you look under drivers. It's so anyway,
4's a better number.
It's bigger. We got to go with this. Now, one of the complaints, one of the many, many, many complaints I had with the Creative Lab stuff is their software to control their things is absolute shit. Absolute garbage. Now, the software for the X-Fi is not a whole lot better, but it is better. Okay, so it's like polished shit. Okay, you have a shiny turd now. It's still not very good, but it is better. And it does one of the things that I've always wanted it to do. Actually work with the Windows control panel thingy, like their sound controls. Because at any given time, I could go to my Windows sound thing and adjust that, and it was completely like independent. I would turn on the microphone in one. If the other one was off, it would still be off. Mm-hmm. And then I even run across somebody's machine where it was flipped. If they had their shit muted, it would play sound.
Oh,
and wow. I was like, you just have to live with it because I can't figure out how to fix that. Deal. Have a nice day. I mean, I seriously was stumped. And it was alive. You know, pieces of shit.
It was probably just a software conflict that you couldn't do anything about.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't even know where to begin. So, anyway, I bought it for $99, but average price is $129. They have 4 different versions of this damn thing. Now, the Extreme Music, the cheap one, I got for $100, retails $130. Just the card and some drivers is what it comes with, and AOL. There is a platinum version for $200. It comes with the card, the driver disc, with AOL, and the little 5 1/4-inch box that slides into your tower, like where a CD-ROM would go. So you have a bunch of optional in and outputs on it. Really cool. It's got dials on it and all kinds of neat little things like that. There's the Fatality version, which I'm going to say it's the Creative Labs X-Fi Fatal 1TY version. This is $300, and this is they signed a deal with that one douchebag kid, the pro gamer guy, that fucking guy. Mm-hmm. It's a $300 card. It's the card, the driver disc, the quarter, the 5 1/4-inch box, and it has 64 megs of RAM on it, right? And they're saying it's such a huge boost in performance because of the RAM, right? It's like it doesn't tax the system for shit because of that, which very well maybe holds some truth. Maybe. I'm not quite sure how much, because
64 megs is not a lot.
No, but for audio, for strictly for audio, well, yeah, but that's, I mean, not too terrible.
What harm is using just 64 megs of your system RAM?
Well, a lot of people...
2 gigs of system RAM.
My 2 gigs. What about, you know, your little brother's 128 megs that he's got, you know, or 256 megs.
He can't run half the games anymore anyway. I got 512 and I cry myself to sleep about it.
That's, you know, I mean, now the software itself still takes up a hefty amount. I think it's like 45 megs or something it takes when I'm just like sitting here running Windows and I've got, I know. So it's like you're getting hit both from both ends.
Right.
However, the Fatality version and the Elite Pro version, I guess, allow for 1,028 different audio sources at one time or whatever, because they've got more, you know, this onboard memory, as opposed to like whatever it is for the regular ones. I think it's either 2 or 8 megs. I can't remember. Probably two. Then there's, like I said, the Elite Pro version for $400. This is the card, the driver discs with AOL. It's got the 64 megs of RAM on it. And instead of the box, instead of the slide-in box that goes into your tower, it's an external box. So, whatever. That
does
makes
it have more stuff on it, or is it simply...
That I have absolutely no idea.
Not taking up one of your...
I don't know. No freaking clue.
So, let me get this straight. All of these versions
are the
same
exact
damn card.
Same card. Well, minus the memory on the last two, right?
Right. So, more or less, unless you're, like, way into audio...
You would not buy this. They're $600 pro audio cards. So you would not have a fucking Creative Labs piece of garbage. You would have a pro audio card.
Right.
You know.
So, in other words, there's no real reason to buy anything but the Extreme Music.
In my opinion, unless you needed all those extra audio in and outputs, I could see buying the Platinum version. The Fatality one, I could see if you have, you know, an extra $100 and you just, you know, need to blow it, maybe get it because of the memory.
Maybe if you have some kind of EPing problem and you need the absolute
right.
best of the best.
Right. Well, I mean, hey, even maybe your case doesn't support that many 5 1/4-inch bays.
Right.
And maybe yours are full and maybe you really want, like, okay, perfect example, my little shuttle box. If I threw an Odyssey or an X-Fi in there, I wouldn't have a place for that thing because it's got a DVD-ROM, and that's the only 5 1/4. So maybe I would need that breakout box. It's just more expensive because it's, you know, a whole separate thing.
Right.
So it has nothing to do with the performance of it. Now, this, you know, they have some great features, and most gamers are very familiar with the EAX. That's their, you know, enhanced audio deal with all their little tricks and bells and whistles and whatnot. So a lot of your games support EAX 1, 2, 3, yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. This has support. This is EAX 5.0. It has this Creative Labs CMSS 3D audio deal, which is basically their fake surround sound. If you're wearing headphones, it still sounds like you've got surround sound speakers,
I
right?
I think they stole that from Aureal.
They stole everything from Aureal. I swear to God. It's their fake surround sound. Now, there's the 24-bit crystallizer, which I'm going to touch on a little bit. This is a big... deal for Creative Labs. There's a built-in preamp for direct recording and high impedance inputs for electric guitars. Okay. Now I imagine nice. The built-in preamp for direct recording is probably why this looks so fucking good. I don't know if this sounds any good, by the way.
Yeah.
Who knows if it's actually going to really actually sound very good though, but, I don't know. Well, that will remain to be seen if this episode actually sounds pretty decent. Now, the software, okay, it has three different what they call modes, and it's seriously like this giant crazy box that fills up your screen, and it has game mode, which is the most used one for me. It has the audio creation mode, which is a nightmare. It's freaky. And then there's the entertainment mode, which is very simple, kind of looks like your home theater gear, you know, whatever. And
do we know if these different modes have like settings that get changed? Like game mode is something you would want to turn on while you're playing games,
right? And what it does specifically is because it unloads the other end of the reason I like the game mode so much, and the reason we're even recording in game mode, we're actually staring at it right now, is because it's the least of them all, Right. Now, the entertainment mode is simple. However, it uses more memory, I guess. Mm. The game mode uses the least amount of system resources. Right. And still has all the damn features except for, like, okay, the audio recording feature one has, you know, you got sliders for individual inputs and whatnot, all kinds of crazy, ridiculous stuff. It just kind of runs like ass, but it's by far the heftiest one on your system. The entertainment mode one kind of looks like your home theater gear. It's got a giant volume button on it. It's got a button you can click, you know, for mute. It's huge. It's got a little dial for bass if you need to adjust that, just like your home theater gear has. It has, and in fact, if you go to our forum, I've got screenshots of every single screen in this software on the forum. Go under hardware and take a quick peek at it. I threw a little comment or two in there every so often just so it's not nothing but a pile of screenshots. But essentially, it's a pile of screenshots because that's what the software does, and you can see all the features on there. And every single mode lets you adjust all the same stuff, though. You know, so it's like every mode has an equalizer. Okay, so I adjust my equalizer settings to what I want them to be, but they're individual. They're selected to that mode. So I have a C4 profile for the way I like my equalizer set. I save it. I switch from game mode to any other mode, and my equalizer's back to flatline, like regular. Mm-hmm. Well, I go to my presets, C4 is not on that list.
Really?
I have to reset it for every freaking profile, which is good and bad. I don't like it because I'm not going to need different profiles, say. Right. Other people, though, they might get all into the whole, oh my god, when I'm mixing, I need this one. When I'm watching a movie, I want that one. And when I'm playing games, I'm going to use this setting. You know, they might get all into that, okay? Each one has settings for they got equalizers. You've got volume adjustments for each little individual thing, your different inputs and whatnot. They have the CMSS 3D options. You can fiddle around with the fake surround sound you get there. They all have like built-in saved, you can make it sound like you're like in a rock concert place or in a theater. You know, they get preset adjustments for a lot of crap. And it's got this 24-bit equalizer deal, which is Creative Labs. They say, oh, yeah, this thing is fantastic. It's a specially designed algorithm by them that basically attempts to read your 16-bit normal audio. So we're talking like an MP3 or audio out of a game or whatever, what have you, okay? And the algorithm attempts to make the audio higher quality, right, which sounds like a load of crap. But, you know, they swear they've got something called Super Rip, okay, as part of this package. Now, mind you, I am a big believer in just make it work. The driver disk is 632 megs. Okay? I took every single fucking option off of this thing except for the diagnostics, just to make sure I can make sure it works, and the fucking console thing for it. I did not install, like, there's piles of crap, and it was still 120 megs it took to update, to install this damn thing.
For a driver.
For an audio driver.
There's a lot of, like, pictures and visual stuff.
Right, yeah. There is. I mean, it's pretty. That's for damn sure. It's even got a damn video. You know, like a little video that opens up when you first play it and everything, and it's like, oh, for Christ's sake, you know.
So a lot of that space is the console.
I could probably go through and find out exactly how much of it's real and how much of it is bullshit, but not right this very second anyway. But, I don't know about the software yet. It's better than their previous attempts at this software. I will say that.
At least they're going the right way.
Right. They're absolutely making leaps in the right direction, I think. This pains me to do this review because I fucking hate Creative Labs. They're such crap. And yet, so far, I'm pretty damn pleased.
Yeah, how many years has it been since you've owned anything but Creative Labs?
Well, I had an All Real for a while, and I liked that. But then
mine
was like on board or something, though. So I was like, screwed. I didn't have it for very long. You know, I just couldn't. I've had other things. I had a Santa Cruz card long time ago, though, my fucking, like, dual Pentium 2. You know, I mean, it was a long time. I had something weird. But anyway, but I have had by far more creative products for audio cards than anything else, by far. I probably had two other cards.
Unfortunately, I might have mentioned this in the past, but unfortunately, I got my Aureo, like, 2 months before Creative Labs bought them out. And so they stopped doing drivers.
Right, and you could not get drivers for XP after that. Or maybe it was 2000. I remember not being able to find drivers for whatever operating system. It just was coming out at that same point in time. And it was like, oh, this sucks. That's probably how I wound up with my trauma with my lives, with my Sound Blaster lives. So anyway, the software here works pretty good. I pretty much leave it in game mode. It's the least intrusive on the system, it seems like. It works pretty well. It's clean cut. It's small. It's not very large. It takes up like a quarter of the screen, not like 6/8 of it or 2/3 of it, I guess, like everything else. It's not so bad, I guess. It's pretty decent. As far as this crystallizer thing goes, this is what I really wanted to touch on here. I've been hearing some really good things about this. People are saying, wow, it makes my shit sound good. So Creative Labs has this thing called SuperRip. Okay, now basically it lets you copy your CD to an MP3 or whatever the fuck have you. It's probably some kind of DRM protected shit though. And what it will do is it rips your disc, applies the crystallizer algorithm to it, which you can adjust, by the way, and then it saves you your MP3. It compresses it to whatever the hell it is that you want. Now, that's probably a bad thing, I would think, because that's manipulation of the artist's real work.
Yeah.
Because it's not like it actually just enhances things and brings out sounds a little bit better. It kind of just says, well, we'll give a little more here, take a little there, put some over there, and make it louder. It really seems more like it's an equalizer trick to me.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't actually seem like it's really doing anything. Now, I have noticed it does change how the audio sounds. Not always better. You go too high with it really starts to sound pretty bad. You go too low, you don't notice at all, but you always notice the volume adjustment of it, which is bizarre, which gives you the illusion that it's sounding better.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's clear. Well, fuck, I turned the volume up. Pull some of the earwax out of your ear. I cannot say that this thing does anything very spectacular. It certainly does something. It definitely does something. Now, I've been told that it makes the show sound better. So by all means, flip that motherfucker on and listen to the show. It might be a little bit better. At least the MP3 format. I don't know how well it works with AUGs.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, you said it makes the MP3 only playable on your computer.
No, it should be fine.
Oh.
No. It's the MP3 is the same, but when you have to check the little crystallizer box so that, like, on my end, I'll hear it differently than everybody else. And the thing about the DRM was probably if you rip an MP3 using their software, it's not an MP3, it's something else, I'm sure. It probably has some kind of protection on it.
Right.
I'm not gonna fucking use that. I'm gonna stick with what we've been doing. Audacity, lame, AUG drop, and, you know, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
I might fool with the crystallizer if I can get, you know, an MP3 to sound a little bit better because I think they sound like crap. You know, for the show purposes, I might do it, okay? But I don't know yet. That remains to be seen. Now, one of the modes here, the audio creation mode, does have a recording feature, like a whole little recording studio box section of it even, which is kind of neat. And it lets you save to MP3 waves. You have a whole choice of different things. I'm not a huge audio person. I don't know the lingo and all the numbers and what you want to say about this and that, because I remember there's something where it'll convert your 44.1 kilohertz stuff to 96 kilohertz or whatever. Fucking blows right over my head. Whatever. Does it sound good?
Right.
You know, that's what it comes down to for me. Now, from a gaming standpoint, as a gamer, the card is almost a requirement, I will say, because of the EAX. You know, it makes the game sound that much better because they're all programmed to use this thing for your surround sound in games and for all of your audio effects.
That is if you have decent speakers. You're like me and you have, like, two speakers and a subwoofer that are, like, 7 years old. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't seem to play that much of a difference.
No matter what kind of sound card I throw in there, it all sounds the same.
It all sounds the same. My stuff set is pretty bad. I have a little 5.1 set, Altec Lansing. It's $100. I got them as a replacement when I got rid of my Klipsches, which was a big mistake. But I've just never had that kind of money to put back into nice speakers. But these actually do a fairly decent job. They do okay. And for $100, I can't complain. You know, and the sound card does, I think, play a lot into it. I have noticed it does sound just that much clearer at the very least. So, I don't know. I think it's a pretty good damn product, really. I really can't tell you anything beyond that. It has this the Flexi Jack. This is Creative Labs trying to save a quarter, okay? Now, on the back of this card, like any other card, you've got your input jacks for all your stuff. You've got an output, and then you've got the input jack, and you've got like a little MIDI hookup deal. Maybe like an old game controller or something. And anyway, you use the Flexi Jack here. Okay, now three of those are my audio. For my 5.1 set, you got the orange, the green, and the black plugs. They all wham, they go right in. You've got the other plug, which is blue, which is usually line in.
Mm-hmm.
Pink is usually microphone in. And then you've got another one for digital audio, right? This thing doesn't have that. It has the one port. And you set what that port does in the software.
Mm.
So if I want that port to be my line in, which we have to do, we must do this for the show. We have to have microphones hooked up. Wham! That port's taken on mine. Okay? I didn't even think I was going to get that. I really thought I had four plugs back there for out, so I was kind of shocked. I was happy that it worked. What if you have digital speakers?
And need a microphone. You're screwed.
You're totally hosed. So I don't know.
You need the box.
Platinum version. Right. You got to get the box. Another $100 for a 25-cent part they could have put on the card. That's bullshit. That's such bullshit. I swear to God. I'm going to... Damn you, Creative Labs, I hate you. Okay, so, well, we were coming, it's like an hour and a half now, but we've still got games to talk about. What the hell? So the streams are getting cut off, but that's okay, because you're going to download the show anyway. We actually got some pretty good gameplay in here. I got to play Condemned Criminal Origins for the PC. This is the demo. This game is actually out for the PC. No, it will be out for the PC, sometime this week, I believe. It's out for the 360 now, and it will be out for the PlayStation 3 November 1st, 2006, according to EB. According to EB Games, anyway. Now, if you look on our forum, hwhq.com/forum, I think. I can't remember off the top of my head. I'm pretty sure it is. Click on forum on the left if it's not that. And you go to games. I got a topic in there. Condemned Criminal Origins demo screens or something. I took a couple of screenshots of it just to show how good this looks. It runs like absolute ass on my box at 1024 by 768. However, it looks pretty damn good. It really does. It looks impressive. At one point, I had to drop it down to 800 by 600 just to see, and I took one of the screenshots. You can tell is it 800 by 600, I think, because there's massive jagged edges over a door frame. And I think I took the shot right in front of a door, but it looks like ass. So I had to bump it back to 1280 or 1024 by 768 at the least. I don't like to play that low, but hey, shit happens. I did, and it runs reasonably well enough. You're a FBI agent or something, you're like a cop or something, and the demo opens up with you in this dark room in what looks like an abandoned office building or maybe a school or something. There's like rotting walls and whatnot and everything like that, and it's really dark, and you can see like the boards that are that make up the walls and sheetrock with busted holes in it and all this shit. And there's a dead girl on the ground with a chain wrapped around in her mouth and like bound on her hands and shit like that. And she was sitting in a chair and fell out, and she's dead on the ground. And there's a table, a little tiny square table, like a dinner table at like a quiet restaurant that like a boyfriend and girlfriend would go to for a nice, close, romantic evening. And there's a mannequin of a guy sitting there like kind of pretending he's having dinner with her with like a big slash across his face. And then there's little kid mannequins in the room with their faces cut off and everything. It's just kind of disturbing. So
you're dealing with a psycho.
Right. And there's a cop in the room and somewhat like a detective in the room too. And they're talking to you, and the voice acting is pretty good. The facial animations are just fantastic. The lighting is great. You've got little forensic gadgets. You can take pictures with your little phone deal and analyze shit. And how you know what you're going to take a picture of to help you solve this is it highlights. So you pull the camera up and you can look at whatever in the room. And if it glows blue, you can take a picture of it, and it's a relevant part. So you don't just take pictures of random shit. So, you know, this kind of helps. You look at the murder victim and it takes you a second. You find the part where it looks like she's been strangled now because there's like a blue mark on her neck. Mm-hmm. You take a picture of that. You mail it off to your sergeant or whatever. And she's like, okay, blah, blah, blah. Is there anything else in the room you can help us with? Is there anything else, any other clues? You have another tool, some kind of weird green laser beam deal, and you beam it all over the room, and it highlights something else green that would be like a clue. Well, you find, in the demo anyway, in this first level, or the only little short part of the demo, the slash on the mannequin's face highlights green. So you click on that, and it goes off the information, the data goes sent to your sergeant. And she's like, oh, this is the so-and-so, this has got to be the, you know, so-and-so killer. He's done this before. This is his thing. He has mannequins dressed up like whatever, and he slashes all their faces, and we don't know why he does this kind of thing. So already you get the feeling there's a bigger thing going on here. This guy's a repeat, you know, offender here. He's a serial killer, but he's kind of twisted. Well, you guys are like, oh boy, this guy's kind of sick and blah, 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 blah. And the guy in the room is like, hey, you can't smoke in here. Well, none of you guys are smoking, but it smells like cigarette smoke. And they're like, oh, fuck, he's in the building, right? So now you're kind of creeped out. Mm-hmm. Now, this game really gave me the feeling of the game Fear. It's kind of creepy and quiet and intense. You really got to be on the ball. It does a pretty good job, but you walk kind of slow. You're a cop. Right. You know, got to get to those donuts pretty fast, though. The shift key does have a sprint thing, but you're limited on your run. You know, right. You have like a stamina bar for that, right? And the interface is actually pretty nice. I use the standard WASD keys and, you know, whatever. You know, my mouse clicks however I wanted and all that stuff. Standard key layout works fucking wonders. It's beautiful. And you go walking around this little building and whatnot. There's a few cutscenes here and there where but they're rendered in-game cutscenes, and they look fantastic. They look great. Every now and again, you see like a vision of like, as you get closer to solving the mystery or whatever, it'll show you what actually happened. So you like find another room with some tools. Well, this is the part where you cut the face off. Okay, so then, wham, you're looking at like a black and white, grainy, old film style of the back of the killer. Like, you, like the camera's like back and above him a little bit. And you can see him like carving at something or whatever. And it's just like a maybe a 3 second little flash, but that's what actually happened. And you kind of solved that part. So you kind of get to see what happened, the sick psycho bastard and what he's doing. Now, it's pretty cool because they really involve your character with things that you can't control, which is pretty cool when done in the right way. You get like rushed by a dude, but it's a sequence. You know, it's not like just some regular dude that you got to shoot.
Right.
It's a sequence that happens and you get knocked out and you wake up and you're the guy knocked your gun out of your hand when you fell over and he picks it up and laughed at you and, you know, said something creepy and slowly walks off the hall. You get up, you see your guy, like your camera, like the guy like shakes himself together for a second. You know, it does a good job. And you gotta go track him down now. Now your weapons in this, you can actually pick up like all kinds of shit. Dude, oh my god, I had pipes. And it was like long pipe. And they all have like a little rating. So when I hover my icon over, before I pick it up, it's all length. It's like a plus. So it's got a good reach on it. Mm-hmm. Shield, minus. You can block with all your stuff. Or block, it says not shield. Then you've got like damage and speed, right? So, okay, I pick up the long pipe. It's you know, damaging, but slow, or whatever. And then there's like 2x4s with nails in them. 2x4s with bolts in them. Shorter pipes. There's a fucking fire hatchet to chop down doors, and which I thought was kind of cool. If you happen to have it, you can chop down a door. At one point, I noticed. And in the demo, you don't really get a gun. You get it for like 2 shots and then you basically lose your gun. And you gotta go track it down. You're able to get one off of the enemies. I noticed one of them dropped a gun and how many bullets he shot me with was how many were left in the gun the other way around. So if it was like a, you know, 9 bullets in the clip.
Right.
And I let him get off 4 shots, there's only 5 bullets left, you know? So it was pretty cool, you know? I had a locker door, like off of your school locker, the door, and I was bashing people over the head with it. And the game is rated M. So the enemies are screaming the F word, and they're saying all kinds of just vulgar stuff. What am I afraid of? Okay, they're like, fuck you! You know, you fucking shithead, you're gonna fucking die, that fucking hurt, ow! I mean, they're really going at it. It is okay. I mean, it's not like it takes away from the atmosphere, because the kind of people you're fighting, you come to find out, there's some kind of like new drug or something in the city, and it's making people kind of get really violent and extremely psychotic and whatnot. So already you're it makes me excited. It's like, wow, this is the kind of thing I'm gonna be killing this whole game. This is cool. I'm gonna be fighting like some PC, you know, fucking people hopped up on PCP. Don't feel any pain. They're charging me and whatever. And you're hacking dudes down with this axe and shit. You got a taser. You're a cop. You know, it was pretty cool.
It certainly sounds interesting.
Yeah.
I hope that the whole gathering of evidence thing does not become too much of a
giant part. Like, is that what you were going to say?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, if it's going to be an FPS and like a
right.
A real action-based game, you don't want too much downtime looking at dead bodies
See,
and stuff.
Now that's the part I couldn't tell about this game though. Is it set up to be like that or is it not? And I'm thinking it's not. I'm thinking it's not set up to be a really fast-paced action FPS.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it wasn't like there was enemies charging me in every room.
Right.
Every so often down a hallway I'd get jumped by a dude. Or they would bust through the wall. Or they would drop down from the vent in the ceiling. And I even chased the guy and he crawled up the wall. You know, it was not like Spider-Man.
Right.
Like, he jumped on, like, a board and hopped up on a table, and there was a hole in the roof, and ceiling, and he crawled up through it. You know what
right.
I mean? I mean, whatever. It was pretty cool. It was more creepy. I saw enemies at one point rush past me, where normally I wouldn't have seen them unless I was paying attention. There happened to be a hole in the wall, and I saw them rush past me. So I knew they were in the room adjacent to me. And when I went over there to look for them, I didn't see them. They were hiding behind a pole, waiting for me to get there.
Right.
It was pretty cool. I mean, they did a pretty good job.
And my other problem is if it's going to be kind of like a nice mix between those two and there's going to be a lot of evidence gathering and whatnot.
A little bit slower paced.
It's really kind of janky that all you're doing is looking for glowing stuff. You know what I mean? It just kind of bothers me that if that's going to be a major part, that's fine, but all I'm doing is sweeping the camera looking for something that's glowing.
I did have a hard time with it.
Did you?
And I don't mean hard time like I couldn't control the camera. I meant like figuring out exactly where I should be. Now, granted, the one where it was evidence was pretty easy. It was like, search the body. They give you a clue for evidence. So obviously I scanned up and down her body before I realized her neck highlighted, you know? And when they said search the room for forensic evidence or whatever, that one took me a while. You know, I'm probably just retarded. I should have known to check the next only other real thing in the room. I walked all over the fucking room before I figured out what it was. So it didn't seem
that
bad.
It also might get a little harder.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm sure there's maybe stuff more than one thing.
Yeah. Stuff might start showing up, like, in drawers or...
Oh, right, like, right.
In a corner.
There might be bad leads. There might be things that the dude set up, too. You know? Right. I mean, I don't know. I actually had a pretty good damn time with the demo. You can get it on File Planet right now.
Okay.
Not too shabby. Now, I played and I had to do the demo, the quick battle on the demo twice for Rise of Nations. Okay, oh, that other game was Condemned Criminal Origins for the PC and 360. The PS3 version comes out like in November. Now, Rise of Nations, Rise of Legends. Okay, this is a real-time strategy.
Mm-hmm.
I went through, there's like a campaign on the demo and I'm not so sure. I never clicked it. So maybe it's not a full campaign or whatever. I just didn't have time to go through this as fully. And in fact, I've deleted all the demos that I played in preparation for the show and managed to not delete this one because I haven't played the other one up there. I didn't delete this one because I wasn't done with it yet. You know, I played through it, saw the mechanics of it, wasn't quite finished because I was kind of undecided. Now, I got a second spin at it today. I made Kobar sit here and watch me go through the whole damn map, try to help with my opinion forming because I'm not so sure about it just yet. Anyway, now, granted, it's a demo.
Right.
Now, I would also venture to say it's not a complete finished demo. I want to say it's like a RC1 demo, you know, like not quite beta because it works just fine. They just need a little touch here and there, and I think they're on to another fantastic game.
I certainly think it has quite a few good ideas in it.
it definitely seems not so cookie cutter.
Right.
I mean, essentially, you are just taking your army of dudes and rushing their army of dudes and resource gathering and yada, yada, yada.
You don't do that and you're no longer RTS. I mean, they're making an RTS game.
You've
got
all that.
There's a core that you have to have.
Right. There's heroes. Okay, that's not quite a core RTS part then. Okay, heroes.
Not yet, but it's very quickly becoming.
Thanks, Blizzard. Now I think is okay. I like them. I like them too. I like them too.
It also is interesting that you can have multiple heroes at once in this.
You can do that in Warcraft 3. You can have them all.
Did I just not bother to do it?
Yes. I don't either. I get one guy beefed up, so he's like just impossible to kill.
Right.
So anyway, Rise of Nations, Rise of Legends. It's now the demo had. It's hard for me to say because I looked for more information for this game, but the fool I am, I go to the official website, which has jack fuck all on it. So it's really hard to tell you anything beyond what I learned from the demo. So as far as this little review here goes, this little preview of what Rise of Nations partially contains and may turn out to kind of be, is only based on the demo that I got to play, which is also available from File Planet right this very second. I don't have a release date for this game yet, but I sure hope it's not like tomorrow, because there is some things that need to be addressed. Basically, in the demo, there's two races available. And there was, I guess, a part of the campaign or something, and two like quick battle maps. Now, I did the Frozen Tundra one twice, just because I knew it, so I could show Kobar how it worked really quick. And both times, I stomped the shit out of the computer guy with no effort. Which I'm not so sure if that's like Oblivion style, where I just didn't see the difficulty slider halfway down to zero. Or if the AI is just not quite up to snuff yet.
Could even be both.
It could very well be. I'm just not quite sure. Or that, or I'm just fucking Uber. You know? that very well may be. Hey, that's a very real possibility too. I might just be that good. Of the two races, one of them uses like magic and whatnot, which is way cool. Because when you build their cities, which I really kind of like how the city building works in this game.
I do too.
They dig a hole in the ground and their city like floats in that hole, right? Mm-hmm. Now, then the other guys in the demo were like mechanical stuff. They built things. They used like steam powered type of shit. I never played them. I played the magic guys twice. It's cool because like, okay, you build your city. You've got your one little main town and you can build districts off of that town. And you have a merchant district, like a battle, like a military district and a magus district. That's like it. Those are the three things. Now, to get your, everybody knows, like the town hall upgrades, you can upgrade your main place, you know. That requires X amount of districts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what you do, though, is you have your base town, and you say, I need to build a military district. Click, And it has to be part of the town. So you can't build it far away from nothing. It has to be your city grows, which is really cool. You can't just like run off like you can in Warcraft and start, you know, throwing up a second place really quick that nobody can see. You know, you have to go out there, explore, and do all this crazy shit before you can go to do something like that. And there's cities you have to take over, okay, and build off of that. Now, of the districts, they all play an important role. The military district obviously generates you some units. The mages district, fuck, oh, they give you research points for, like, an overall global kind of buff. Right. So let's say I have 5 mages districts. It gives me 5 research points. Now you click on the little research tab on your interface, which I'm not so sure about this interface just yet anyway. It's not terrible like I thought it was originally, but it's not so hot either. You have 4 lines of progression. There was like a land knowledge one with 4 different skill levels. So the first point would take 1 point, then 2 points, then 3 points, then 4 points. And you have to go in that order. So at the end you're spending like 9 points or something. 4, 7, 8, 9, 10 points, I guess. And then you've got, well, there's 3 more. There's a wealth one, I think, that increases how much you generate. There's a health one that allows you to, your units will generate, like, regen at 10% or whatever when they're in a friendly zone. This game actually had territory markings, which I thought was cool. Mm-hmm. You could see who controlled what territory. And when you would come to the end of your territory or, you know, what, the beginning of a new territory, it would be like a colored outline. So right. You would know you're crossing into the green player's side. Okay, that guy owns the area surrounding this area. Kind of cool. You kind of, you know where you're at. I could see how cool this would be in like a massive scale fight.
Like an eight player
melee. Yeah, how fucking awesome would that be? You could really see how well that would work in one of those games. Unfortunately, on the demo here, you've got you versus one computer guy, you know? And I don't know, to get your money, you build these little caravans, which you need the merchant districts for, okay? Mm-hmm. And for every merchant district, you can build another little trade caravan thing. And it, like, floats around the map. They're all aerial, at least from the two in the demo. And they go to the other nearby towns, whether or not you own them, it seems like. Little, like, neutral ones, I guess, too. Mm-hmm. And you get money. Or maybe it just floats around and pulls money out of the fucking thin air. I don't know. But the more of those you have, the more money you generate. There's no, like, mining for that. Then there's some kind of ore. Timonium, I guess. And there's little crystals on the ground, and you just go, you know, once you've found it, once you've explored that area, you can click on your build menu and build a little thing. You don't need a unit to build the item, which is nice, because you don't have to wait for some jackass to walk the fuck over there, you know?
Or build a bunch of peons and end up just standing around.
Right,
in the
taking
fight.
Up your valuable resources, because, you know, that limits your population there, right? So you build this little mine thing, and then you can build dudes within there to mine from the Timonium cluster, which never seems to run out as far as I can tell. It just kind of goes forever. And it's kind of cool because everything in this game that you buy costs more the next time you buy it.
I think that's a really cool way to do the resource thing because of that, you still want to expand and get more mines.
Right.
Because things become more and more costly as the battle goes on. So you still need a higher, like, basically regen rate of your resources.
Right. Income.
Right.
Regen rate.
Yeah. But, so you still want to make that income come faster and faster because
right.
It's getting more and more expensive. And actually, I think that's a really good way to do that. Instead of, oh, hell, my mine just collapsed.
Right, yeah, I gotta go get another mine.
My main mine is gone, now yeah. I'm screwed.
It is a good idea. It's a great idea, because it solves one of the problems that we've come across, we've talked about before with RTSs. Do you have the limited funds or the unlimited funds? Well, the unlimited funds get out of hand, people can turtle forever, yada, yada, yada. Okay, well, it's gonna cost them more if they want to hole up and be little bitches. Okay, so they can only do it for so long.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great system.
It also allows for basically an infinite time in a battle. Because
right.
If you're playing a Warcraft 3 game, eventually every single mine collapses.
Right.
And then it's just, who had the most saved up?
Right.
If it's that close, and you guys are really pushing each other back and forth, and you have good skills, the mines collapse, and now it's who had the most amount of money when it happened.
Right. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of skill based in there, too. Tons of skill in that game. But, granted, it draws the line for you. It ends starting now.
Right.
Your minds, everybody's minds are done. End it. You know, and it really kind of rushes you through the end. Now, but this is a really cool system. For every little mages district I build, it's like, bam, this is going to cost me more. And it gives you a little notification. You can build this cheaper somewhere else, moron. Like, you know, it flat out tells you. You can build districts cheaper somewhere else if you can. You know, because basically, I like to make one giant, you know, fucking city, but I've got other places I kind of neglect. And every time I try to add on to my big city, it's like, You know you can build that cheaper somewhere else. And it still counts to my whole.
But at the same time, the bigger that main capital is, the longer it's going to take them to beat you.
Right.
When they finally get there. And so that gives you a better chance to be able to, like, counter the attack and finally push them away because it took them that much longer to
take down my main city, right, and win the game. Right. So it's pretty damn cool because those places get huge. They get big. Now, that's not to say that everything you build has to be built right next to your place. You do have unit creating structures.
Mm-hmm.
And in the magic guys, they had like three of them. They had like glass, sand, and fire. And whatever. You just build these little things out there and you can produce units off of them. They have little minor upgrades that I was able to find in them, you know, like they can produce this or whatever. You can produce this kind of unit. You gotta research it first though. The heroes, pretty cool. The heroes are pretty neat. They're pretty, well, at least the one guy I had was huge when I used my little growth power. Other than that, he was this big flying, looking on fire dude. They had littler chick. Guys, too. Oh, it was a chick.
With
that's right.
Big old bazoons.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
I scrolled in. You scroll in, the graphics actually are pretty good.
Which is probably why the game runs like ass.
Scrolled way out, it doesn't look that good either.
No,
it's like,
it doesn't. No.
I don't know what's going on. You scrolled in, like when you took the dogs out, I was scrolling in.
Yeah.
And it looks good.
Does it really?
There's like all kinds of detail in the chick's wings. It's like
Whoa.
Leather. And
Whoa.
Like cracked leather. And she's like breathing fire. And
no
actually,
shit.
Yeah, it actually looks really good when you slide in.
Wow. I never saw any of that.
And you scroll way out, and it looks like it has no detail.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on there.
Huh. Well, I don't know, but the game runs like crap.
Yeah.
Okay, I like to play, and you almost have to play these kind of games, scrolled out, because the more you can see, the better off you are.
Yes.
You know? And here I am, scrolled way the fuck out, getting, you know, 5 frames per second, while my massive army strolls across the map. Which, this game's version of massive is a unit seems to be a group of dudes.
Which I'm finding is actually becoming more and more common.
I've seen it around a lot.
The Battle for Middle-Earth 2 does that as well.
Ah.
You build one unit of, like, footmen, and,
right.
like, 12 dudes pile out.
Warhammer, you build squads of guys, you know. Well, maybe they don't come out together, but they become a squad. Well, no, maybe not. God, I can't remember. It's been a while since I played that. But anyway, I've seen it around before, too. And
I don't really like it.
I don't either. I don't like it. Give me the Warcraft style where I make a grunt, not a pile of grunts. It runs better, too.
Yeah.
You know?
Although it does give you the feeling of commanding an actual, like, full-on battalion of...
All right. You're absolutely right. It definitely does. It definitely does. So I'm going to have to say, in this game's defense, because that is what they aim for. That's one of their biggest selling points for this and for Rise of Nations. You know, they said, giant fucking battles with, you know, X amount of hundreds of units on the screen. Hey, that's a selling feature for that, for, you know, this series anyway. And that's a good thing. It's nice to see a fat battle like that. I do get pretty tired of seeing 4 and 5 orcs running around beating on 4 or 5 night elves, you know?
Yeah.
If for every unit of that I made 5, it'd be like a big battle. You'd have 20 night elves versus 20, you know, whatevers. So, I mean, granted, I guess it does add a little more punch, I guess, but it doesn't seem to matter. To me.
No, in the numbers and everything else, there's no real difference.
Right, yeah.
They seem to be designed to be like one unit of 12 or 20 or whatever it is against one unit of 12
right,
or 20.
Right, yeah. It's just like equal numbers.
It ends up being the same damn thing.
Yeah.
And as your battalion or group loses HP, they lose dudes.
Right, right.
And so it actually becomes the same.
Right. So... one of the things I noticed in this game, though, was, and this is a good point, my little battalions of dudes that were pansies were steamrolling everything I ever came across in this game. Like, I could pull out all these big units, and they just didn't seem to really pack that punch necessary to plow over the enemy. I would take swarms of little guys, and I could just fucking zerg my way through, it seemed like. A lot better than if I was to take the time to research the burly guy. Because the burly guys have all these limitations. You know, works well on other burly guys. Okay? Works well on small group units.
Mm.
Works well on, you know, aerial guys only. Gets owned by whatever. You know, it's just like, you know, it's like, why bother? I can get little guys that beat on everything, and the occasional time somebody brings out a big thing, I take a little bit more damage than usual, but I end up whooping his ass anyway, because it's their one versus my, you know, 40.
Yeah, see, that is a problem, especially since those groups of dudes just kind of appear.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is kind of a balancing thing that they might want to look at. The base unit, especially if you're just going to get it for free, should really not be more than just, like, nice base protection.
Right, yeah. I mean, you can start out with just one squad of guys, and you can mess up some stuff pretty bad for, you know, I mean, I guess I had a couple squads when I started, but I just roll right into whatever it is I want and take it with no effort, you know? And there's these little camps on the map, which are kind of cool, because you can use them to supplement your army. They're like little, you know, native whatevers they are. In this particular map, it's like this little berserker Nordic tribesman dude or whatever. And as I roll into them, I kill all of them guards out front of that place, then I take the place over, and then that place just spits out dudes for me. Forever. It seems like no cost. I just sit there and I just get dudes.
It is also quite possible.
There very well may be a cost associated with that I'm not aware of, but I never clicked make these dudes. All I know is I rolled over it, I claimed it, and I rolled on. And eventually, every so often, there's another pile or two of dudes there for me. And it's like, if I just keep rolling forward, I can't lose because I just keep getting reinforcements appear right behind me.
It's quite possible that they purposely made the demo's difficulty a little easier so that people could jump right in and check out the actual mechanics.
Right. Okay. Fair enough. Absolutely. I'm sure every map is going to have all those things right near your base. They're not even. They're right in the middle of the map, though. Mm-hmm. They're right in the middle of the map.
It's a very small map.
It is pretty small, but there's nothing stopping the computer from taking them. He does. He takes them. He just sucks balls. I'll fool with the difficulty. And the reason I didn't delete the game... excuse me, was because I actually did have fun with it. I just wasn't quite sure if I was really... It was 3 o'clock in the morning and my eyes were bleeding. I was so tired when I played it the first time. And I really wasn't quite sure, and I had a few problems with the interface. I noticed the game was running slow and I think it was giving me a headache. But with the interface, it was just a little... too big, I think. It's like a full-on eighth of your screen or so. I mean, it's a lot. Like, in a corner, it's just missing, and it seems like it's something they could... hammer down to just be like the last inch of your screen and just let it go all the way across the screen rather than like you're missing the whole bottom left hand corner, a small little chunk in the upper left hand corner, a sizable portion of your top right hand corner, and if you're building anything, the whole right hand column is gone. You know, it just cuts down the screen a little bit too much with all the interface options. But it's not that bad. I think the biggest problem I have is the upper left hand corner looks like ass and the bottom left hand corner needs to be smaller is all. It looks like crap because it's so big. Make it smaller, and it would look great, and it would be the right size, I guess, for everything else. I think it would be fantastic. Not too much else to say I can think of other than that.
The top right hand corner. These are basically like firsts,
right?
Like, and you get rewarded for this. Like, let's say you are or have monetary dominance, and you get to a certain place monetarily before anybody else. Now you have the ability to click that button and it does something. I can't remember what they all do.
They're like little insta-buffs, right? So like the one that I tend to get all the time is the health one, which I think is a resource deal. Mm-hmm. I get X amount of resources before him, and it's quite a substantial amount of resources, by the way. It's not just easy to do. Once I get that, I have the ability now for a click heal. So I click the little icon, and if I'm in battle, my guys are getting fucked up. It gives me like a little circular indication of where this is going to land. I hover over my dudes that are getting mowed down. I click it and boom, they all get like a free heal. Mm-hmm. Now that thing's on a timer that counts down for quite some time.
Right.
So it's not like I can just keep doing this. I have to wait a substantial amount of time. There's like 4 of them, I think.
Yeah, but it's a nice little incentive to be the first to do that.
Right.
Or like there's one that the first to get so many siege points, now you have the ability to, boom, cease fire.
Which is...
Now your enemy cannot attack you for X amount of time. So if you need that little extra time to build up the rest of your army or to do whatever it is you were trying to do to really kick some ass, you can stop the action and do it if you were the first one to get X amount of siege points.
That is cool. Yeah. That is really cool. I can't remember what the other ones are now, though. Probably because I never get them.
Right.
I always get the raid points and the money points one. One was combat and one was something else, I think. But it's cool because that, again, keeps people... moving faster. I think one of the biggest problems with RTS games is people drag them out and they don't need to. You need something to kind of keep going, you know, let's move along here, let's go, you know? Mm-hmm. And that kind of thing will start you out really strong. And if somebody starts out strong, it might end pretty quick.
Yeah, especially if you can get several of those powers while the other person is just trying to, like, hole up in their base. You're going to roll over them because now you can heal yourself. You can stop the action if you need to.
You can
do whatever the other two are. I don't remember.
Yeah, me neither. But whatever the case may be, it's like if I'm just steamrolling you and like I'm playing Hunter. This happens all the time. He holds up turtles, you know, and it's like, God damn it. I've got you beat. Now I just have to work on plowing your shit down. What a bunch of crap. Mm. You're just delaying the inevitable. You don't have some grand plan. You're not getting out of here alive. Now it's just about I have to wear you down.
That's my problem too. It's just like a natural reaction. I just like start pulling up the turrets and all this massive base protection.
See, that sucks. And I have nothing beyond my normal units and some siege that I probably didn't build anyway to take that down. But if I had a few little clicky things that I earned because I was stomping so bad, I was kicking so much ass with my Uber Micro, then I could speed things along a little bit better, you know? So that's pretty cool. All in all, it's shaping up to be a pretty good game. I just think it's not ready yet. It just needs some more tender, loving care and something, yeah. But not too bad. The last thing I wanted to say about Rise of Nations was the ending screen. The victory screen is awesome. It tells you how many times you clicked. It tells you
how many times you clicked?
Yeah, what percentage of the map you took over. It has timelines for your resources, for your military, for the battles. It has every little detail.
That kind of stuff is pretty cool.
It was awesome. Yeah, it's like, incredibly over-detailed, actually. But it's fucking
cool.
Which is
good.
Yeah, it's cool.
And then the computer keeps track of all that crap anyway. Might as well show
us. Might as well, yeah. Let us know exactly how much time we waste of our lives and exactly what we did. Also got to play. This is going to blow people's fucking minds here. That was Rise of Legends, by the way. Huh?
I don't believe it.
You cannot believe it all you want. Okay. Tomb Raider may not be terrible.
I think you've lost brain cells.
Dude, I swear to God, I've not been huffing the paint. Okay, this is coming out for the computer. This is, well, Windows, PC, the Xbox 360, the PlayStation 2, the Xbox, and the not-so-same version as these, the PlayStation Portable version.
Did Eidos give it up? Is someone else making it?
I don't remember. I don't remember because I played it and then I deleted it. What?
Is Eidos even around anymore?
I don't know anymore. I can't remember. I played the demo, deleted it, wrote my notes down, took my notes, and played with myself afterwards.
Now, very good.
Lara Croft returns. Okay, this is Legend. And it's straight up real awesome Lara Croft goodness here because you're back in a tomb. You're not on... I remember trying to play whatever the hell the last one was and I was in a city. What the fuck? That's not Tomb Raider. Okay.
Raiding a tomb.
That's Psy Girls or something. Okay. Yeah. This is Tomb Raider. You're Lara Croft with all new graphics that are maybe not spectacular. Okay. But they're great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They're not complete crap. They're just not. They're pretty damn good graphics. And amazingly enough, it ran fantastic. Like I thought there was something wrong with my computer. It ran so good. It was really like, wow, this is pretty amazing.
It's all about code optimization.
You know, and they must have done a great job with this because it didn't crash. There was no little bugs. There was no slowdown like I had problems with the other one. I mean, this is just crazy. Now, I'm not a fan of this series at all when I say I played the other one. Beyond that, I played the first one for 10 minutes way back when it was brand new.
I didn't even like the first one.
I didn't like it either. I just played it.
She felt weird. Like, she didn't move right.
Right and looked all strange. And yeah, I just wasn't a big fan either. However, she looks pretty good now. Like, as far as graphic-wise goes, anyway. I mean, she looks pretty good. She's got all the right curves and everything, as we expect from, you know, Lara Croft and everything. She's got all the cool gear and whatnot. She's got a grappling hook, which is so dope. There's this part where I get into this... gasp, a tomb, and the demo trains you how to play. It starts out and it's like, all right, press forward to walk. I'm like, cool. So I press W. I walk forward. I'm fucking with the camera with my right hand and I'm like, this blows nuts. I press, you know, A, and I kind of sidestep and I'm fooling with the camera and I'm like, these controls suck. Oh no, this is going to be horrid. So I break out the Xbox 360 controller. I plug it in. The game says, okay, well, I had to restart the game.
Right.
And it says, oh, you've got a controller. So fucking do what you want with the control. So I'm like, okay, cool. So I go through and I set up my controls, just how I would think I would like them. And, you know, there was a little play testing going on in this first room. You know, okay, this is going to shoot. This is going to do that. Now, my problems are the triggers don't work. For whatever reason, the game doesn't register the fact that I have triggers. Hmm. The shoulder buttons work. The triggers don't work, though, which is a bummer, because I like those a lot. Can't use them. I don't know why. I really,
the game might not have any sensitive...
Yeah, I wanted to use it for my shooting, is all. Yeah. You know, and then I wanted one for shooting, one for grappling, which would be dope. But whatever, it didn't let me do it, so fine. But the biggest plus, 100% full control over the controls.
No.
And I mean, no, listen. I can adjust the axis directions for all directions on the camera and Lara.
Nice.
Think about that. I can make left, right if I fucking want to. Right. Like I do. And I did. And all of a sudden this game was incredibly playable. I was having serious camera issues again. I was like, God damn these third person fucking games and their ass backwards cameras. Wonder if I can change. No way. And sure enough, I can change left, right, up, you know, up, down, whatever the fuck I want. I can change it for the camera, for shooting. Dude, it's fucking awesome. Once I have the controls dialed in, I only have one or two buttons that I don't like where they're at, which blows because they would be on triggers.
Right.
So I'm kind of pissed. But the game played, once I got my controls dialed in, just like sweet. It was nuts, okay? So they train you how to play, but their trainer is retarded. It doesn't read what you set your thing to, I don't think.
Right.
Because it's all press space to jump. I'm like, no, how about I press X, you fuck? You know? So, and then I would use whatever the hell my key is. I think it's the red one on the right there. And I would jump with B, you know? Mm-hmm. And, well, whatever the fuck it is. And so that kind of sucked because it made the training really hard because it's like, grapple. And I'm like, oops, you know, I'm shooting the crap out of the wall or whatever. And it's cool because you've got all your usual assortment of moves you would think would come from a game like this. You know, she can dive, she can roll, she can crouch down and creep around. You can jump up on ledges. And if you're like not close enough, she grabs on by one hand and swings and a little icon comes up with a hand. So you know that you're going to fall in a second. You have, you know, 1 second to hit, wham, the other button to grab with your other arm. Because you just barely didn't make the jump. And then you can kind of shimmy along the side of it. You can even, like, Lara's a beast or something. She can fucking pull herself up from a ledge. Like, so you're hanging there by your arms, dangling. And if there's a ledge above you, she can pull herself up so hard that she can grab the ledge above the ledge she's on with one hand. It's really, it's hot. It's fucking awesome. You've got poles that you can swing around. So like, you know, like I was going up this like riverbed and there's like the shit, you know, like poles. So like a gymnast, she, you know, grabs it and does a few spins around it and woof, I'm off. And I grab the next one and it's really fucking awesome.
So there's a lot of like environment
acrobatics
puzzles.
And
like,
right. Lots of, how do you get up here? How do you fucking go over here to push the button? How do you, now that you're here, what do you do for this? You know,
I dig that stuff.
Dude, it's awesome in this game. There's, the grappling hook. She has a fucking grappling hook. And now how you use this, I guess there's these little shiny, okay, there's discs. There's these items in the game that are fairly large and they shine. Like imagine if you held a quarter up in the daytime and you just kind of made it flicker, but they're large. And it signifies you can latch onto that basically when it shines. You know, yeah, you can. So, I walk up and I'm in this tomb. And I walk in the front door, and I don't know what to expect. Now, I'm still kind of having a hard time with the controls, so I'm still new at this, even though I got them dialed in like how I want them. I just haven't gotten them my hands trained yet.
Mm-hmm.
You can jump, too. And all of a sudden, I see this thing flicker above me, and I take one more step forward when I hear, woof, and the ground below me drops out, and all I can see is spikes.
Mm.
Now, just that fast, I managed to somehow panic and hit jump, so I jumped before I, you know, landed on spikes. Hit grapple, and she's all, you know, battering style, or whatever, he's got the bat grapple thing, and swings across the hallway,
nice.
And I hit jump again, and I hop on the other side of the hall, and I'm like, wow, that was fucking cool. And it was neat. I mean, it's like not anything revolutionary. We see this in every game, but the fact that it was like that smooth, mm-hmm. and it was just that easy to pull off, and it felt natural, says a lot about this game right off the bat. You got climbing, you know, I was climbing up and down ropes and vines and chains and all kinds of weird shit. I mean, you can jump from rope to rope and chain to chain if you need to do some weird, crazy shit. You can swim, you know, you get the whole full range of way cool, you know, Tomb Raider-ish kind of stuff. I only have two major complaints with the game. The camera is not the slickest all the time.
you wind up once in a while with camera angles that make you want to tear your hair out. You know, it's just like, motherfucker, I can't believe I'm looking at this, you know? It's pretty bad sometimes. It really is. But it wasn't all the time. I mean, I had a great time playing this demo, and I'm so pissed it ended so early. And my other complaint is the shooting. Now, the shooting is okay because you have, like, an auto lock-on thing, which, sadly, I don't like where it's mapped because I can't use my triggers.
Right.
So I'm having issues with the gunfights in the game. And there's two issues I have with it. One, the auto lock-on deal is kind of rough on you. It's really kind of tough because of the control layout I have. So it makes it difficult for me to be able to walk, and I actually have it mapped to pushing in the walk key for my lock-on target button, but you have to hold it. I thought you could just tap it and it would lock a target. No, I have to hold it in. So it's I need to remap here and take another glance at it.
Right.
You've got that, which is a little difficult because I can't map the controls the way I exactly want. But my biggest complaint with the whole combat system is it seems like enemies can be out of range when they're right in front of you. Like I'm...
Like you're too close? They're too close?
No. 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 It's like, for whatever reason, they're just barely too far away. Hmm. And they're right in front of you. And your little lock-on deal goes gray, which means you can't hit them. And what this means for when you're playing is this. Let's say I come around a corner. This happened to me twice in the demo. I came around a corner, and I saw a dude off in the distance. I targeted him and unloaded 30 rounds and didn't hit him once. Because he's out of range.
Right.
Now, okay. What if I aim? So you have an aim mechanism, which is cool. It's an over-the-shoulder look, and you're looking, you know, Lara's on the screen, but now it's zoomed way in. You have a little reticle now. You can't move now, really. You know, you're kind of screwed, so it's tough if you're trying to snipe. And it's like, I can zoom right in on the guy, but I can't fucking hit him for some reason. And it's not like I'm missing. It's that it won't let me hit him because my little target's gray, and I don't quite understand if... Maybe I was standing in front of something that was blocking my view, but it didn't look like it. You know, maybe there's a rock there that's fucking invisible or something. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe, you know, I'm not sure what the problem was, but I ran into the problem a couple of times where I was like, well, why the fuck can I not shoot this guy? And I would have to like untarget him, retarget him, and you know, take two steps to the left and spin in a circle, and then it would let me target the guy and shoot now. Well, wow. and hit, I mean.
Right.
It's weird.
But you didn't get any closer.
No. Because I was up trying to snipe dudes, you know. Maybe it's a limitation of the gun. Maybe because I was using a pistol, and the distance was, you can't snipe distance. So no matter how good of a shot you are the player, Lara's guns aren't making it over there. You know, maybe it was one of those. There was only like three different guns in the game that you could have too, but it was way cool, because one of those was like an assault sniper rifle or something. I mean, it was fucking badass. The game was fun.
Oh.
And at the end of it, I was, there's a big puzzle, you know, there's a big puzzle at the end of it, and it's pretty cool. You can grab shit and move shit around, you know, like you can, and it's not like ghetto. It's not fucking like Legend of Zelda's type stuff. It's not like there's a big block, you walk up to the block and hold the button, and you grab it, and you can only move it within their selected area, and in those,
a little slot.
Right, and in four directions. That's, you know, no. You can swing this thing around at any angles you want, you can push, you can pull, and it reacts like you would expect it to react. It's way cool.
Oh.
And in fact, the trick to the puzzle is you have to use a leverage system. So I'll take it back. There is little holes where you got to drop these boxes here, but there's three of them. There's only one box, though. Now, down a little jump here that Lara, you know, you can't pick up a box and throw it. You have to push it. They're huge.
Right.
It's two more boxes. So how do I get those two giant-ass boxes up on, like, the higher raised level with the holes I need to drop it in? Well, there's, like, this fucking, you know, like a lever, like a seesaw system there. So you drag it over, and you push the fucking box onto it, and you can jump on it, and it, like, thwing, and shoots the box, and it's way cool because it adjusts how far, you know. It's like it took me a couple tries to get enough oomph to knock it up there, and it was pretty cool to see. You know, and then even then, you're not done. So you've opened the door. I can't get to the door still. You gotta hop around the room and shimmy across chains and not get killed by whatever's. Dude, I was really having a good time. For a fucking Tomb Raider game, I was blown away. And this comes out in 2 days.
Well, it's about time they did it right.
April 11th, I believe. April 11th. I have screenshots of this and of Condemned on the website. If you go to the forum and click on the game section, you'll see pictures of Tomb Raider. It's impressive. The graphics are good. It runs fantastic. The controls are not that bad.
As long as you're using a controller.
As long as you're using a controller, yeah. I bet you can get away with it pretty good on a keyboard and mouse, but I can't. I can't see it.
Every time I try to play a game that's designed to play with a controller on a keyboard and mouse, it's just ridiculous.
Right. Yeah, it doesn't work right for me either.
FPS is on the console.
On the console.
It doesn't work for me.
Right. That's why I'm going to find it very interesting to play around with black.
Yeah. You need to play controls or play a game on the controls it was designed for.
Right. I think you're dead on with that. We've gone way longer than we thought, but I may as well throw in this crappy movie.
Okay,
it's called A Sound of Thunder. I don't know any of the actors' names in here, and I don't give a shit. I do remember that the guy from Sneakers, who was the bad guy, is in it. I'm pretty sure, yeah. And it's cool, because I don't think I've seen him recently in a lot of things. And there was some other guy who was actually kind of popular. Like, I know I've seen his face, but couldn't remember where. In any case, this movie is about time travel, right? I mean, I went to Blockbuster and was looking around for movies, and it was the only thing that looked unique. I mean, our options were Memoirs of a Geisha, however you pronounce it.
Geisha.
Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah!
And this. Now, I will admit to coming home with all three. However, this is the one that I picked. And this is the only one that I have watched and probably will watch. Now, it sounded way cool. These people in the future have this company that does time travel safaris. Mm-hmm. They get to go back and kill dinosaurs for the fuck of it. How cool is that? It's a hunting expedition. So what they cater to basically is rich fucks that, you know, have all this money to blow. And so they suit them up. They have a team go with them. And they got the rich guy who wants to kill a dinosaur. And they all warp into the past, you know, 65 million years ago. And wham, they fight this dinosaur. Now, what you discover, and what I think makes the movie kind of weak, is that it's all rigged by the company. Sure, they really actually are going back in time. However, they're fighting the same dinosaur over and over and over. So they know exactly how the combat plays out. They know exactly where he's going to be and at what time. And they know exactly how he's going to die. And the reason they do that is because it prevents any bad from happening, right?
You're also killing one as opposed to thousands of dinosaurs.
Right. Oh, and see, there was a special, when they came up with the design for this, there was a special, you know, as far as the story for the movie goes, a special government watchdog group to make sure they do not alter the past in any way, shape, or form. So they have to do the same scenario over and over and over and over. And the guys are like so bored. They're like, oh no, it's the dinosaur. And the businessman guys are freaking out. They're sweating. They're all freaking. Oh my God, it's a dinosaur. Well, they've got the guns rigged up. So only the head guy in the squad of like six can shoot. He has to shoot first. Then they can all shoot. So it's like they can't just go blowing stuff away because they gotta be monitored. They cannot change the past. Now, of course, some shit happens. There's some fucking guy drops a thing of whatever, you know, and it cracks open, and something happens in the laboratory now, and whatever. They're so they go on another trip, you know, for another business guy, mm-hmm. and the gun doesn't work when they come to shoot the dinosaur. So, of course, they bring an engineer who can fix things like that. And so, of course, the one guy plays the hero. He tries to, you know, fend off the dinosaur. The other guys are freaking out. Blah, blah, blah. In the commotion, one of the guys alters history by stepping off of... There's, like, this invisible glass path that comes out of this wormhole they create. And they have to stay on the path. Otherwise, they leave a footprint. Mm-hmm. Or they pick up a bug and it gets on their clothes and comes into the future with them. Or what have you. So, in the commotion, one of the guys steps off the path. Just, you know, puts a boot print. Bam. Fully alters history. Right, I know. But it was cool because, you know, it wasn't just like a boot print that did it. It was that he stepped on a bug that he brought back to the present. And I don't know, like, I saw such potential in this movie. And they had some pretty cool creature designs mm-hmm. because they were evolution. You know, there was giant bats and there was like these reptilian monkey looking things, you know, but they were like evolved. Mm-hmm. And it was neat because there was like changes to history didn't come all at once. It's not like when they came back, everything was different. They came in waves, and they were evolutionary waves. So what happened is they came back, and 24 hours later, plants had evolved. Because whatever. Plants had now, like, taken over the fucking planet Earth. It was crazy. It was like a jungle now. In the next wave, basic creatures evolved. Insects, bugs. Mm. In the next wave, more like primates and larger animals evolved. In the last wave, humans evolved. And I'm all kinds of excited to see what they're going to do with humans and how that's going to play out. And, he meets a female doctor who invented the time travel computer. And so you get this whole part of the story now. And it's just like, it seems like it falls apart just too quickly. Mm-hmm. Like, it seems like you're set up for something so awesome. They had the potential to do anything they wanted with this movie. It's altering evolution to however they want. And they show you, some reptilian things chasing some people, some large bats, and then you get like a 2-second glimpse of an evolved human. And then he's teleported himself or time traveled back to the moment where the guy stepped off the path, and he stopped him from basically doing that, and warped back. And of course, change is back, come all at once, right? So he steps through the portal once he solved it, or he disappeared, that's right, because it never happened. And it's just all good. And it's like, okay, that was pretty lame.
So in other words, the movie was okay, it's just they kind of screwed up the ending.
They screwed up the ending, and like, the movie was okay, you cut the ending off, and you're looking at like maybe a 550 at 875. The movie wasn't very spectacular. Only because they didn't do so much with it.
It's a nice matinee.
Yeah, it would have been worth seeing until you realize how they wrap everything up and cut everything short and just kind of give you the shaft in the end. And it's like, wow, you guys could have done so much and you chintzed out. And then I seriously was like, that's it? At the end of it, I was like, wow, that blew. Mm-hmm. So I gotta stick it with the 350 at 875. I rented it. Now, a rental's like $4. I do feel like I should have watched something else that day, though.
Right.
But for $375, I could, for $4, I didn't feel too screwed because it was like, well, I saw it, and, it was fairly entertaining. It had some good ideas, and it got me thinking about some things.
Right.
Unfortunately, it didn't do so good at thinking through things and presenting them to me, the watcher, which is what a movie's job is.
Right.
So I was kind of let down. Sadly. Holy crap, this was a long show. That's fucking awesome, though. Maybe people will enjoy these extra long shows for we're trying to make up here, see? That's right. There's something like that.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah. Okay, now the best part is watch this not work because of the new hardware. Oh, my gods. Bye-bye.
Later.